If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And it was also then syndicated all over the country as well, right?
Well, it wasn't syndicated. It was on a network.
Right, but the next version of the show.
It was live on the network.
Right, but then once that show ended, the next version of it, there was a syndicated version as well, right?
No.
No?
The next version of it was on Nickelodeon.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Oh, yeah. That's so terrific.
This is the world-famous K-Rock.
I finally bottomed out, ladies and gentlemen.
I have finally lost it completely.
I don't like him, his giant head, or his beady little eyes. That's all I got to say on the matter.
Come on with the come on.
Oh, I don't understand what that means.
I'm a backseat. I left Big Boy for this. Oh, no.
And now.
Let me ask you something. What do women want? Who cares?
Our feature presentation.
As the mayor of Hollywood, I do hereby proclaim this Rodney Bingenheimer Day in Hollywood.
Ooh, last thing you ever did.
Wow, what can I say? What a collector's item. First of all, I'd like to thank Mr. Johnny Grant, the official mayor of Hollywood.
Unofficial.
Amy Stevens from K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
Oh, that K-Rock.
And I gotta say, Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. I know, but they did help at the beginning, you know, raising the money and all that.
I know.
Listen, no one knows more than I do.
Oh, that's so funny.
We were not, our names were not well received by that crowd of Rodney Well-Wishers. There was a noticeable lack of applause for us.
If you're a Rodney Well-wisher, which is hard to say, you're not going to like us.
No,
much.
And I think rightfully so.
Absolutely.
I think that's the way things work.
I don't even like us very much, and I don't wish him well.
we certainly did. He's right, though. We certainly did do our part to raise some money, get that thing going. And then we killed Johnny Graham, which I'm still proud of.
Psycho Mike's birthday! Psycho Mike's birthday! Who's Psycho Mike's birthday? Arrogant things are going to happen. I like me. Psycho Mike's birthday outside my window. Psycho Mike's birthday behind the tree. I wish Psycho Mike could see that he's a big douchebag and looks faggy. And it's Psycho Mike's birthday outside my window pane.
I'm Psycho Mike. Roid rage. Lift weights. Get you pumped up. Me. I like me. I see I'm not gay, but come on. Really? I got small balls because all the steroids. Slayer. Me. Me, me, me. Me, me, me. Me. More me. More me. More me. What are you guys doing saying? Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. It's my birthday. It's my birthday. It's all about me. It's me. It's my birthday. Hey, stop singing. It's me. I am God's gift to women. Me. But I'm gay.
Yay!
Come on.
Now, Kevin, we could play that again today, right?
Now, that's a masterpiece.
All right.
Omar is back, ladies and gentlemen. That right there is, that's good.
Happy birthday, Psycho Mike.
Thank you.
When is
now
your
Mike's birthday?
Saturday?
Is Saturday, right?
Saturday. So we got a couple more days even
do.
To play this,
yeah? I don't know because his name isn't on the birthday list.
Yeah, true. It's hard to tell.
No idea.
The best part is when Omar sits down to think, what would I say if I were going to be writing a song about my, oh, me, 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 me. Let's put that in there a bunch. Me.
Anyway. Very long.
Omar is awesome, and I think that's my favorite of his songs of the last few.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
What was the last one that blew ass?
Well, it didn't.
Wasn't it?
It wasn't President's Day, right? It was after that?
What was that again, Omar? Say it, my... Leap year.
Oh, leap year.
Leap year
was awesome. I must have been the one before. There was one recently that I think we all voted unanimously was horrible. Huh. But he's back in a big way. Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say a bad Omar song is better than a good song by many people. You know, I mean, I always enjoy them. Some are better than others, but they're all worthwhile in my mind.
I agree completely, Bean.
I'm not a big fan of the original song because of the dumbness of it and the badness of it. But his are okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if I could go back and change things, I would never complain about Halloween spooks, because then at least it would only be one time a year.
Uh-huh. Instead of every 2 weeks.
Yeah, every time we could think of something.
Psycho Mike, what are you making your wife do for you for your birthday on Saturday? I mean, I imagine that's the, you know, more than usual even. That's, hey, worship me. Today's the, as Mike, when he refers to his birthday, by the way, or his birthday year, refers to it as the greatest day or year of all time, because it's when he came onto the earth.
Well, it is the Ides of March, so everybody has to dress in, like, Roman garb.
Good.
You know, to honor me, because I guess I'm
pretty feed you grapes.
I'm pretty much, like, yeah, Caesar reincarnate. And exactly, my wife, she dresses in like she's draped in like a toga type deal,
mm-hmm.
and she feeds me grapes and oils me.
She has a chain around her ankle.
Yeah, and I look like almost every year. It seems I wake up, I'm like exceptionally buff on my birthday. Right. I don't know why. I just like get more yoked.
Just get pumped just overnight.
Yeah, I just wake up. I'm like, damn, I'm pretty buff today. And then,
so you're even more of an Adonis on your birthday than you are the rest of the year.
Yeah, and then like I have this like custom built bed, and other yoked out dudes carry me around on it for 24 hours. Like wherever I need to go, I'll be like, hey, let's go down to the gym, and they carry me there. It's pretty sweet.
Then the other yoked out dudes oil you up.
Yeah, but sure. I mean, you know, that's backdoor. I mean,
right. Sure.
Whoa. Oh,
wait a second.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Yay, knee pads.
To be honest, I'm. I can't really do anything for my birthday because I work here outside of the show. I'm Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night.
And
the way the hours are set up, like I'm on the air Friday night till like really late, and then on the air Saturday night at like 5 in the evening. So it's like I don't really have time to do.
Wow, that's some crafty planning by K-Rod.
I know, I like that. It's as if they knew it was your birthday.
It's Mike's birthday weekend. Let's
see. Well, they didn't know it was my birthday because no one would know because there's no paperwork.
It's not on the list, yeah. That's true.
All right, well. So no oiling up this year. No carrying around. No
I'll make sure to work that in. Don't worry. Okay. That's one thing I can't leave behind is the oil.
Nor can you stop the yoking up. I mean, the yoking out. You can
he
wake
just wakes up.
That
way. Like I said, I mean, that's kind of like genetic. That's just the way of the world. Come March 15th. It's Roman Day, and I'm yoked. Those are the two things that happen.
All right. Well, that's good news.
Okay.
Cojones.
It's a good song, finally. We got a good song coming out.
Yes.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, and it is the 12th of March. Bow, bow. Yesterday, Bean, he thinks he'll be a good TV news anchor.
Of course I would.
And I think that there's no way.
Yeah, and third of all, there's no way.
And there's a lot of stuff to base that on. And we talked to a news anchor yesterday from Channel
11.
11.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give you some highlights of that just after 6 as we try to talk some sense into Bean.
Not that we wouldn't want him to go do that.
No, that'd be great.
But
be great.
We can see the future.
Writing on the wall.
Crash and burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, surprising ways you found out you were fired. We're going to do that today. We didn't have time yesterday, but
Can't wait to hear stories because you know there's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
People don't like to fire people.
And yeah.
They make it so much worse in the way it finally ends up being found out.
Yeah, you find out your card key doesn't work anymore or your login on your computer doesn't work or you don't get invited.
Security guy at the gate is like, you're not on the list.
Oh, sorry, you can't come in.
Hey, about 2 weeks ago when you guys showed up and none of you could get into the gate, I bet the thought crossed your mind that there'd been some sort of format change and you weren't allowed in the building.
Crossed my mind. That's the way it works in radio more than any other industry. So anyway, we'll do that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.
I can't wait to tell you about the story just by sheer coincidence. Somebody I was talking to yesterday that I just found out that this happened to, and it was just unbelievable the way it happened. Just unbelievable. And I think part of it is that they don't like people to know, and they don't like to tell people because it's awkward and uncomfortable. And some of it is just that companies don't want the word to get out ahead of time because it'll, you know, give them a bad reputation or slow down profits or something like that. So they try to keep, you know, downsizing to a minimum, you know, firing and closing and things like that. As a PR, but yeah, it's rough.
Yeah. Also, Jenny Catherwood is going to leave Psycho Mike, even though it's his birthday. Can she leave you? Can she officially leave you on your birthday?
I guess.
I mean, if she left,
that'd be the sweetest gift ever, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, my question
For
is
her.
Like, if she leaves today, would she still have to come back in the toga on Saturday?
No, I see.
Oh yeah, that's Roman common law.
Okay, all right. Roman common law. All right, good. The Elliot Spitzer's wife standing up on the stage.
Have you heard the new information that
no.
he spent, what is it, being $80,000?
$80,000?
Over 10 years?
Over 10 years.
10 years he's been doing this.
Yeah, this wasn't just something he thought of when he became governor. This goes way back.
How
that changes everything for me.
Well, you knew that it wasn't a one-time deal.
I knew that.
Because he said, I'll have the regular.
10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The whole time he was the DA.
Yeah.
That brought my mind to a complete halt.
It certainly did.
So we'll
not like he can
that.
Argue he didn't know it was illegal. I'll tell you that.
Nope.
Yeah, no kidding. Also, there are some Thai monks apparently that don't understand the whole celibate thing. And they've been online and they've been flirting with chicks.
But they're still celibate, right?
There is. Well, it's interesting.
Depends on what you mean by R.
Internet sex.
This is a great story because apparently in Thailand, and we'll talk more about this later, I think most or all of the young men are required to go into the monastery for a certain amount of time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like in Israel, you're required to go into the army, right? And, you know, they're very serious about it. They want people to have that strong religious founding and background. And apparently they are allowed to use the internet and the Facebook of Thailand. And it's here in the United States, too, but it's very popular in most of Asia and around the world, is called High Five. That's the name of the social networking site.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently a bunch of these monks were using it to try to pick up girls and, you know, try to meet girls in town. And, hey, I'll come by and pick you up, the whole deal.
I'll be the bald guy in the robe.
Yeah, totally stepping out on it.
Oh,
the government
God.
Is way cracking down on them, talking about how unacceptable that is.
Loving the internet.
Chip! Hanging on every word.
It's a monk friend of ours.
Chip.
Master baiting for you.
Chip.
He's the internet predator. Chip! Chip! Chip!
Well, we'll find out more about that story later on today, though. Should have just called the Emperor VIP Club is what they should have done.
Also, what are you going to do, spoon me to death?
Oh, God.
Oh, don't even bring that up. Don't even start with that again.
The exciting finale today on The Kevin and Bean Show.
You promise? Do we have an answer?
You'll find out.
Ralph yet,
you'll
find out. We'll find
out. We don't know. We don't know.
Well, you'll find out.
Ralph was doing the research yesterday. He was renting some of the movies that we thought the line might be in to see if he could find it. But, wow.
I'm going to go on record right now and say I don't think it's in any movie.
Anywhere, I agree with you.
Anytime.
I agree with you.
Not
I think
word
it sounds
word.
Like a line that's in a movie, but I don't think it is.
Other movies are close to that, but I think seems like any question like that is super easy to track down these days, and
yeah,
no
think.
One's able to.
Yeah.
So I don't think it exists.
Sign.
I think somebody needs to put it in.
There are plenty of – excuse me? What? There are plenty of movies that reference spoons, and please quit emailing us mystery men, but – there's no line about what are you going to do, spoon me to death, apparently, in any of them. So that's what that's the mystery. That's what we're going to try to solve today. And hopefully Ralph will have good news for us when he comes in.
Also, we're giving away your choice of an Xbox 360 or a PS3. And you also get Guitar Hero 3.
That's
and we're going
nice.
To do that between 8 and 9 o'clock. We're playing songs that are featured in the game. And Even Flow by Pearl Jam is one of them. Caller 3 when we play that between 8 and 9. Get your choice, Xbox 360 or PS3. And you also get Guitar Hero 3.
Right.
Which is good fun. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz beat neck.
The only one with talent here is Ralph. The only one with talent here is Ralph. The only one with talent here is Ralph. The only one with talent here is Ralph.
I didn't know you had a band, yeah. Ralph.
Thanks. It's very sweet. Everyone gets a song this morning.
It sounds like it.
Mike's is the best, though. It's hard to beat that.
It's like ordering, you know, those storybooks for your kids where they'll put the name inside the story for
exactly.
your child
that's
so they
right.
feel important.
I enjoyed very much hearing Chip the Internet Predator, too. It's been a while since I heard that one. That was very enjoyable. That's some of Lightning's
Chip.
Best work.
That is Lightning's best work.
For
just
folks who don't know.
Chip. Well, that gave
yeah.
us. That spawned all the other names we've heard after that.
That
fact.
Is true.
That's right.
That spawned Anna and Cow and all of them, right.
Chip made it happen.
Chip was a guy that we knew, a guy who was an engineer that we worked with on several trips to New York City who ended up getting busted, I guess, for being an internet predator.
Yeah, we saw his work,
creepy.
Too. That was the worst part.
It was so
yes.
awful and creepy.
You yes, see yeah. this? You like this? Look at this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that was something.
Yeah. Too early. 5:53 Wednesday morning. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are, according to rumors, expecting twins.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank God. Yeah.
Thank God.
That they need more kids.
Yep.
They're in a hurry, man.
The couple already has a 21-month-old daughter, naturally, and three adopted children. But a source close to the couple says the pair had not planned for this pregnancy, but, however, are very excited about it, and now are going to have twins.
Wow.
So it's Shiloh, Maddox, Pax, Zahara, Zathura, and Nakniro. They're going to start going to Klingon names next. They're running out of bizarre names.
Is that going to be six
children.
Total?
That would be six total, yes, Jen. Absolutely right.
Now, I understand they have the resources. They certainly can't afford the kids, and they can afford the help with the kids. But at some point, are you doing your children a disservice if you have so many you can't possibly spend enough hours in the day with them?
I would think so. My dad came from a family of 12,
Holy
though.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
Yeah, and the older ones would take care of the younger ones, and they lived on a farm. And I don't know.
But don't you just feel like one in a lineup after a certain point when you're a kid in a family?
I would think so.
You're not really getting a lot of individual attention.
Hey, Bill, a tip. Sam.
You, the little one. Don't do that thing your mother asked.
You got to go through the whole list.
Yeah. My mom came from 10.
Wow.
That's
she
crazy.
Said the same thing. There's so many people, so much running around that you just, you know, it's fun because it's always like.
It's always people to do something.
Always, right. Always got a crowd of people, but you don't get a lot of attention from your parents, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to probably split up anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry?
What?
According to Star Magazine, they're having a huge fight, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, over plans for their wedding.
Oh, I didn't know they were getting married.
Yes, apparently they are in the works planning on a marriage.
I think it's sweet when couples fall apart planning a wedding.
It is pretty ironic. Brad apparently wants a big wedding in New Orleans.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's it's one of his pet causes is getting that city back on its feet again, and he wants to bring all of his showbiz friends and family down to New Orleans, have a big bash, and celebrate down there. Angelina apparently is dead set against that. The couple's been fighting and slamming doors, and according to Star Magazine, going through quite a rough patch over this. Angelina said she would like to adopt a wedding from Africa.
So. Are those available?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do that. Winona Ryder could be up to her old tricks again.
Uh-oh.
According to a gossip website, she was recently stopped at CVS drugstore in Hollywood, where security found a few items of makeup in her bag that she hadn't paid for.
Oh, no.
Really?
Winona couldn't understand how they got in there.
What? Those are in my... What?
What?
How did that happen?
CVS allowed her to settle her debt, just pay for the makeup, and then...
Yeah.
Wow. Somebody having already been caught that publicly doing that.
Well, kleptomania is a compulsion, much more so. I mean, obviously, one owner is not stealing stuff because she needs to.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's obviously some sort of psychological compulsion there that I'm sure she has addressed and is working on. But
how about that?
Maybe she had a little relapse.
It did take her a number of years for that to kind of fall off the radar and people start thinking about other things.
And how good can the makeup be at CVS? That's what it should be at the Mac counter someplace or over at Barney's. That's where she got in trouble last time, wasn't it? Barney's or Saks or wherever she was.
If you're going to steal anyway, you might as well get the good stuff.
Exactly. Hugh Laurie, my boy, is apparently a big believer in method acting, in researching his roles. He recently told Britain's Radio Times that when he got the role of Greg House, he experimented with Vicodin to see what it was like. So he got a prescription for Vicodin and popped a few.
Did he get an actor's prescription? Did they give you that?
Apparently so, yeah. It gives you a floaty, pleasurable feeling, he said, but he wouldn't recommend it.
I would recommend it.
Well, it's good.
I like it.
You're all hopped up on goofballs, that's why.
I want goofballs is what I want.
Yeah. But I guess you would have to sort of know why your character would be popping Vicodin all the time if you had never taken it.
Yeah,
never had it. I'd like to try it sometime. And I guess finally we have settled forever the burning question, Marianne or Ginger?
Really?
I think Marianne's the obvious choice here.
Marianne is the winner.
Yeah, Marianne got popped the other day for driving erratically. And it turns out that she had been, Marianne had been smoking a little Mary Jane.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There was a surprise 69th birthday party thrown for Marianne of Gilligan's Island, better known as Dawn Wells.
The best tonic is chronic.
And she spent some quality time in court yesterday.
Her lawyer came up with this excuse. It wasn't hers.
What? She didn't know how that got in her purse either? What's
he
going on?
He said that a friend left some pot in Marianne's car after using it earlier in the day.
But wasn't she smoking it?
No.
She wasn't.
They found it in the car when they pulled her over.
Gotcha.
She was driving erratically, which caused them to pull her over. Why was she driving erratically? Her attorney said she was swerving on the road because she was trying to find the heater controls in the new car. This guy's good.
You're high. You're on the pot.
The judge let her off with 5 days in jail and 6 months probation after she accepted a plea bargain of reckless driving, so she will not be charged for the couple joints found in her car. So,
marijuana is delicious.
Had I known that Marianne was willing to little for, you know,
she would have gotten your vote.
The Gilligan and the professor started, you know, making her the wobbly H.
Yeah.
Then I would have made her my vote. Absolutely.
Years ago, went to Marianne's house. We were at actress Don Wells' house one time for an interview, Ralph, if you can believe that, back in the day.
Wow.
Delightful woman. Enjoyed very much spending time with her. But I didn't ask if she was holding at the time. I should have thought of that.
Didn't know to look for that.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. They were all big stars in the 60s. You got to think about it. I know they seem like old people now, people from Gilligan's Island and all these other TV shows. But they were all really rich, hip, happening people in the 60s. And that's when everybody was smoking pot. So you don't just stop if you enjoy it just because you get older. So I bet, remember, freaking Gilligan was busted growing the stuff.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So apparently the island was having a good time. Yeah. And a little programming, though, tonight on American Idol, you can see Jim Carrey dressed up as an elephant.
Oh, they've got to stop with this Who promotion, by the way.
Important Here's a Who, so you can enjoy
They're
that.
Killing us with this.
What's he doing in the elephant?
He plays Horton in Horton Here's a Who, the animated adaptation of the Dr. Seuss book.
Right.
So apparently he'll come out on stage and be wacky and do a lot of crazy things because he's Jim Carrey. Dressed as an elephant.
On American Idol.
On American Idol.
Because the tie-in is...
Fox.
Okay.
Fox movie, Fox show, Fox. Talk about
how are you doing, Jim? Lightning through, man. I was skinny and like this. I know. I've gained 30 pounds, and now it's disgusting.
That's the best interview we have with Jim Carrey.
It really is.
That's really
hard hitting. He's hard to get inside because he puts on this veneer of sort of, you know, comic mania.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get his real emotions out, but I think Lightning really did a good job.
He did. That was good. Yeah.
That's just not good.
Speaking of whoring out, you know, Fox with this Horton Hears a Hoop promotion is just a nightmare. But I'm watching American Idol last night, and when did that show just start pimping Ryan Seacrest's little pet projects? A couple weeks ago, they had just a random shot out of nowhere. They're doing American Idol. Random shot of Denise Richards in the audience. My wife's like, why are they shooting just a shot of Denise Richards? I said, because Ryan is the producer of her upcoming reality show on E! Or whatever. And it's just a random shot. So last night I'm watching, they cut to the Kardashian family sitting in the audience.
Oh, just that's his
too? No explanation, nothing. Yeah, he's producer of that show over there on E! Too. Just a shot of them, and then they go back to the show. So when did Fox start just selling their soul to pimp Ryan's project?
Wow.
Usually they sell their soul for their own project.
Right, I can see that. What are they pimping E! Shows for? Just because Ryan's the producer of bad reality shows?
Maybe.
He was so obnoxious last night.
Was he?
He was hopped up. He was on the goofballs last night.
Every time he tries to ad-lib or say something clever, he just comes up empty and ends up looking like an ass.
But I thought he learned his lesson and kind of just stuck to the copy, no?
He's all over the place this year.
Oh, good.
Even Simon Cowell said last night, you're unusually obnoxious tonight. I said, that's the best review he's given of a performance all season long. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, if you're born today, you are just in sad, sad shape. You share your birthday with no one cool.
Really?
Wow.
You are a loser, people born on March 12th. You share your birthday with Liza Minnelli.
Oh.
Of course, from Arrested Development, and she's a singer, dancer, what have you. Marlon Jackson of the Jackson 5.
Marlon.
51.
Not even Tito. Wow.
Not even Tito. And bassist Steve Harris of Iron Maiden turns 52. So there you go. Happy birthday, all you losers.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. There's a few rules we've learned over the years of doing the Kevin and Bean Show. And one of them is that all girls named Jennifer are hot. It's just a fact. You can't argue with it. Girls named Jennifer who live in Huntington Beach are the hottest of all the Jennifers.
Yeah.
And that's why this next story breaks my heart. And that's why I hate to almost go to this call and hear her cry, but we have to do it. Jennifer, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, Kevin Beam, Lisa May.
Hi, Jennifer.
So you heard us talking the other day about people who get fired in crazy ways. They didn't see it coming. It maybe wasn't fun for them. And you thought, hey, I got to send in my story because you're not going to believe what happened to me.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, tell us the story.
Okay. About 10 years ago, I was working for a company that does retirement plans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just been working there about a year. I'd gotten my anniversary flower, whatever, and it was December. The last week of December, I got super sick, and I was out for a few days. And then by the time day three or four came in, I was like, oh, I know I have a bunch of work to do. So I came into the office early, and I tried logging into my computer, and it wouldn't let me in. So then I
What did it say? It said you don't have the right password or what?
Yeah, like it said, I don't really remember because it's been a while, but it just said.
That she couldn't get access to anything.
Yeah. And I tried calling IT, and they didn't know what happened. And I went to one of the supervising partners around there, and I'm like, so, do you know why I can't log in? And she said, maybe I should sit at my desk
what?
And wait for my boss to come in.
Oh, no. Now you had to have the feeling right then,
right? Wait a
minute.
She made you go back and sit at your desk in front of the computer you had no access to and wait for your boss.
Right. Totally. She just said, you know, maybe you should sit, wait there, see what he says.
Bitch.
Yeah.
So
he came in a short while later and brought me into his office and proceeded to hand me my last check and say that I was no longer with the company.
Yes.
It was December 31st.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
That's the way to start the new year.
Jennifer, do you know why they fired you?
You know, I think it was just a layoff. There were a lot of strange things about that job, but...
I have a guess. It's just too hot. Just too incredibly hot.
They couldn't
too
get
hot,
their work
too
done.
Distracting.
Yeah, couldn't get their work done.
Yeah.
What I love about this story has everything. First of all, it's hilarious the way you found out. But you're already really sick and coming in to catch up with work over the holidays, even though you feel like crap. That's how dedicated employee you are, and that's how you get treated. That's really the best part about it.
Totally.
Now, you didn't have any idea? There weren't any hints that people were going to get laid off or anything?
No, and
awesome.
It turns out it was just me. But
well, I don't know that it's just layoffs if it's just you. I got news for you. Maybe they did the right thing. I don't know. All right, Jennifer, thank you for sharing your story with us. We appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, bye now.
So I'm at Denny's yesterday, and I'm chatting with Jenny, the waitress there. And I don't know how we got on the topic of who owned the Denny's or what other Denny's there were in the area.
You asked about it. How do you think you got on the topic?
It's one of your favorite Denny's clubs.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're looking for other ones.
Who owns this Denny's?
Well, anyway, so she tells me a story about another Denny's that's a couple of miles away that had just closed down. And I said, yeah, what happened? And she said, well, they had all the employees prepare, in quotes now, prepare for inventory, had them pack up all the stuff, you know, take all of the, you know, all the salt and pepper and ketchup and everything and pack it all up in the office and stuff like that for inventory purposes.
Right.
These are all the employees leading up saying, yeah, we're going to be closed for a few hours for inventory on Friday night. So all the employees work to get all that done. And then when Friday night rolls around, the owner comes in and says, yeah, we're not really closing for inventory. We're actually closing the restaurant. All of you were fired.
Oh.
Every single one of them lost their job. There wasn't 1 minute's notice before it happened and not 1 day's severance either.
Oh, good. Good.
And there were employees over there that my waitress Jenny knew who had been working at that restaurant for over 10 years. And that's how they found out is not so much inventory as restaurant closing down.
Good for them getting them to pack up the place first.
Pretty creative.
Yeah. About that?
There's no way they would have got that done if they told them anything about that.
No.
Exactly. Yeah, because then you just got you know, employees with bad attitudes and stuff. I mean, I know stories like this happen all the time, and that's why we wanted to do the topic. But can you imagine how you feel at that point?
Surprising ways you found out you were fired at 1-800-520-1067. We heard another story about the AOL employee who was not invited to the Christmas party. I mean, really, shouldn't something precede that? Like, I don't know, you're fired. And you don't just not invite him to the Christmas party, and then everybody else is like, hey, you going Thursday night? Not so much.
Hey, boss, I saw the memo. I didn't see my name on the list for Thursday. Yeah, that's just for people who are still going to be with the company on Thursday. Sorry.
Yeah, dude. It's quite the a-hole move. And that's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick break and come back with your call.
First, though, talking about ways you found out that you got fired. You know, it doesn't always work out the way you hope, where they, you know, they call you into the office and they give you a huge severance check and say, we've really enjoyed working with you so long. Sometimes you find out maybe a little different way.
At a party, they all go, you know, after work out and salute what a great employee you were, how much they're going to miss you.
Finding out you're not on the Christmas party list. That's what we're talking about. Let's start with Lori in North Hollywood, 1-800-520-1067. Lori's on line two, and welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened to you, my dear?
Hey, everybody.
Hi, there. Lori.
Hi. I was working as an administrative assistant, and my boss didn't tell me that he was going to look for a new administrative assistant, and I'd been working there for a couple months, and the number that he put in the ad was the phone number that I answer. So somebody called in calling about the administrative assistant job. And at first I thought, wow, they're looking at an old ad. So I said, that job's been filled. And then the second time it happened, and I scratched my head and went, wait a minute. And then the mail came in, and often part of my job is to open the mail. And I opened the mail, and here's a resume, and the cover letter was addressed to my boss and said, here's my resume that you requested per our conversation yesterday.
Oh,
yes.
No.
So he was just hoping you would take the hint by answering the phones and opening the mail?
Yes, because then he came into to my office to get the mail, and I said to him, are you unhappy with my job performance? And he started sweating, and he started stammering, and he goes, we'll talk about that later. Okay, it took him 3 days to come down and tell me that he was firing me.
That's fantastic.
Are you planning on telling me this?
Yeah.
Well, what if he hired somebody to replace you?
When he found a replacement.
The replacement came in to fire you.
Right. Yeah. Dude, he should have made you work there until the replacement started, then you could have trained the replacement, too, before you left.
I think that was what he was hoping for, but that didn't fly.
I got news for you. That's not what he was hoping for.
Hey, all right, Lori, thank you.
Make her a deal.
I hear we may have parting gifts for our callers this morning. Do you have something for little Lori?
We do. We have, you can pick either a Kevin and Bean t-shirt or Afrocentric porn. We have one called Chocolate Cream Pies. T-shirt. Okay. All right.
T-shirt. Thanks.
It's all yours. Thank you.
That's a shame because Chocolate Cream Pies is a good one. You can enjoy that.
All right. Let's go to Christy in Irvine. Good morning, Christy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Fired? You didn't see it coming? They didn't give you a clue? It was a surprising way that you found out?
Well, what happened was, it was a Friday. I was a senior in high school. All my friends were going up to Fresno, and I wanted to go, too. So I called them on Friday and told them I wasn't coming in on Saturday. So I didn't go in on Saturday. I was scheduled on Sunday, and I go in Sunday, and I go to clock in, and I can't clock in. So I go up to the manager. I'm like, hey, my number's not working. And they're like, you don't work here anymore. I'm like, oh, okay. Can I use the phone to call my dad to pick me up?
Wow. What is it about people that makes it so? Why can't they just say that first?
I know, exactly.
I don't know.
Huh. All right. Thank you, Christy. That's bad surprise
that's
right
lame.
There.
T-shirt or Afrocentric porn?
Oh, I hung up
you,
on her. I'm sorry. Call back. You can get your Afrocentric porn.
Well, I can see how you forgot. It had been 15 seconds. Here's an emailer who said he was doing some Christmas work, helping out in a business, and they got a Christmas card right before the holiday that said, thanks for all your help, but we won't be needing your help anymore after today. Have a good holiday. That's how they found out. Is fired in a Christmas card.
All right. Let's say good morning to Kathleen in Hawaiian Gardens. Good morning.
Good morning.
Surprising way you found out you were fired.
I did. I worked the afternoon shift, and the morning shift administrative assistant got fired and called me up and told me that I, too, was going to be fired when I got into work.
So you didn't go into work?
I did.
What? Why?
I did just to see what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And when I got into work, all my personal effects had already been packed up, and the boss came up and said, well, I guess you know what's happening.
Well, that was nice of him to at least pack up your stuff, right?
Well, I guess. he did say, thanks for all the hard work that you've been doing for us.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, apparently it was so valuable to them that they couldn't wait to fire you. It is kind of sad, and I know it happens in a lot of businesses, and I understand why it happens. But when you're a valued employee 1 minute and the next minute you're unemployed, then the added insult to injury is an armed security guard helps you pack your stuff into a box and walks you out to your car.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. It was both admins.
Kathleen, Kevin and Bean t-shirt or Afrocentric porn on your knees, honky bitch.
Gotta go with the porn.
corn.
Corn, okay.
Okay.
Well, I said corn. It's not corn, it's porn. All right, thank you. Let's go to Dan, who is calling us from Oxnard. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Dan.
How'd you find out you were fired?
I was on business travel over in Scotland and trying to check my email, and I logged in, and about 5 minutes later, I got kicked out of my email. I just kind of said, oh, whatever. Take the 16-hour flight home back to Eugene, Oregon, and my boss is waiting for me at the gate. And he says, when you come in on Monday, we're going to need to talk. And I go, okay.
That's never, you know, why doesn't he just tell you right then?
Yeah, no kidding.
We need to talk. Well, we need to talk. By the way, the words we need to talk in the English language is always bad.
Yeah.
That's never good.
Come in, they find out I'm okay, getting fired because we're merging and blah, blah, blah. They don't even cut me a check for my business trip. It was international.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I had already booked another one prior to that. For another trip. So they just say, whatever, see ya. But the best part is about a year ago that my guy who fired me emails me and asks me if I'm hiring for the job I'm in now. So I did hire him, actually. We did hire him. So
really?
He now works. Yeah, now he works.
Well, you have to fire him. You got to fire him. You got to wait till he travels and then fire him.
Yeah,
I'm gonna fire him when he's in Africa.
Revenge is sweet.
There you go.
All right, Kevin and Bean t-shirt or Afrocentric porn, Patrick spewing in the New York Dicks? Which would you like?
Absolutely the porn.
The porn, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations and thank you for...
All day long yesterday, continuing through this morning's show, we've been getting people writing in about the question Ralph posed on the show yesterday about what movie a particular line is from. Ralph, you do have an update for us coming up after the news at 7?
We will give you a total recap on all our hard investigative work yesterday.
Fantastic.
Okay. That's on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Last night was Beatles night on American Idol.
Woo! Were they finally allowed to use the word Beatles?
They did say Beatles several times, yeah. They kept saying the music of Lennon and McCartney regarding the songs, but they talked about the Beatles hits and this and this and this, and the Beatles were a big influence on me.
It was weird.
What a crappy night that must have been.
They're great songs, I'll tell you that. I mean, as you sit there and watch the 12 songs, you go, man, they could write, those kids.
It was alternately crappy and great. There were some great performances. Chigizi, the sole remaining black dude on the show, just rocked it out last night.
Did he?
Dog. he was terrific. However, spectacularly beautiful yet incredibly vapid Christy Lee Cook tried a country bluegrass version of 8 Days a Week.
Country bluegrass.
8 days a week, I love you. 8 days a week.
Wow. That's about what it sounded like. He's really not exaggerating.
And it just made you want to put your fist through the television and then into her ass.
Really?
That's pretty pathetic.
Made me want to stick my American boot up her foreign ass. So, yeah. Varying degrees of success last night. But you can watch the vote show tonight. When a little lady named Catherine McPhee will be performing.
Oh.
So you may want to tune in to see Catherine McPhee.
Filler.
Filler?
Yep.
They could do the whole hour with her. It would not be filler.
Well, it would be good filler, but it's filler.
In Kevin's defense, it is a 60-minute show tonight for an announcement that takes 1 second, which is who gets
voted
off.
They're voting two people off, so it's two seconds.
Oh, is it two tonight?
2 seconds. Okay. All right.
It's twice as long.
No, I guess it is just one person. You're right. Now it's down to one. So
that's
yeah,
what I thought.
It
yeah.
is 1 second.
And don't they still do a 20-minute commercial where they get in and out of a Ford?
They do drive a Focus around for a while. They do a new video, a new Focus video.
All right.
And then they do a Coca-Cola video, I think. And then
so it's basically live commercials for an hour.
Then they go home right. And we film what's in their closet, and then Catherine McPhee sings, and then Jim Carrey comes out in an elephant costume and tells you to go see Horton Hears a Who.
Well, you're right. Wow. That doesn't sound like filler.
No.
And by the way, if this season is anything like last season, Ralph, tell me there won't be footage of them going to some sort of screening of Horton Hears a Who where they could all talk about that for 10 minutes, too.
That's true. We got to see the movie early. Hey, there's Jim Carrey. Hi, gang. What'd you think?
Wow.
Number one show on television right there.
You guys watch that. Do you at least tape it so you can fast forward through that crap?
Yes, that's exactly what
you
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. I usually just watch the final part where they say who's going.
Smart.
But because Catherine's on tonight, I will watch that as well. But
she going to be driving a Ford Focus while she sings, drinking
Coke? I think
she will
drive one onto the stage. By the way, they were just, couldn't stop just anointing themselves with essence last night, talking about their new set.
Whose new set?
Oh, look at our new set, American Idol. They built a new set. Oh, look. Oh, this set is... Oh, nothing has ever been like this set. Look at this set. Look at it. It's the best set ever. Look how great our set is. I was like... How is that different from the set last year? I was like, I don't know. I don't really remember the set last year. Like,
it's so gaudy, too.
It's a bunch
of
lights.
Looks like
a
spaceship.
That's all on a stage.
Yeah.
Look at a set, and look where the band sits now. Look at the audience. Look at us. Look at us. We're American Idol. Worship us.
And why is Ryan turning into Perez Hilton? Did you see his faux hawk last night? What's going on with his head?
He does not have a faux hawk.
It's sort of his hair was kind of pushed all to the center. He had like not a mohawk, more of
a
mohill.
It was Perez like though.
A mohill?
He made a mohill out of a mohawk is what he did. But he's a mess. And he tried to ad lib and try to battle wits with Simon Cowell last night. And every time he does that, he just comes across like a major doofus.
Because
he doesn't have an idea in his head. He's just a haircut and a suit. That's all he is. And he does a great job of reading the teleprompter. But when he tries to go off the cuff, he just sounds like a seventh grader.
But he must get some kind of feedback, somebody saying, wow, you really killed it. Or otherwise, he wouldn't keep engaging Simon.
I think he thinks he's just a world beater now.
Wow.
He went to pick up a girl's pair of shoes last night who was playing piano, so she took her shoes off to work the pedals on the piano. And Simon very friendly said, Ryan, now those are hers. You can't keep those. Now you can't keep those shoes, Ryan. It was kind of funny. And he turns and goes, oh, Simon, I know you like them. You want them.
Yes.
Like, what are you, on the playground?
Yes. He's four.
You talentless hack.
What was the song she was singing?
Cheers. No,
oh
it's not.
Cheers.
She sang Let It Be. Did a good job.
Oh, that song sucks.
Yeah. Britney Spears is working this. That song does not suck.
Yeah, seriously.
One of the great songs.
Is it as good as Shoes?
No, it is. Britney Spears is working this week. She is currently on the set of How I Met Your Mother. Started work yesterday. We now know role she will play on that show. She's playing a nurse in a dermatologist's office who falls in love with the main character, Ted, when he comes in to have a tattoo removed.
Oh, it almost sounds like a real role.
It does sound like a real role.
When is it on
she's
tonight?
She's in trouble.
Or she's on the set.
They're filming it this week.
Okay.
And I believe it airs later in March, like the 23rd, 24th, something like that. So you can check it out. But, she should be bad.
Yeah.
Nick Lachey's got a new job. According to TMZ, he has taken a break from his day job, which apparently is vacationing.
Yeah.
He is going to be on a new MTV reality show that's inspired by the classic 80s series Fame.
Yeah.
The as-yet-unnamed show will feature students from the School of Creative and Performing Arts in Cincinnati, where Nick went to school, and he will host some sort of reality/competition show.
Where they dance.
They should call it Lame.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Come on.
We should
just sign off right now and just say, that's it. Thank you. Good night.
The show's peaked.
Be here all week.
I might have to apologize to Ryan Seacrest now. Beans a little off the cuff remark.
Nick Lachey is part owner of the Seattle Mariners AAA Farm Club, the Tacoma Rainiers. He is one of the baseball owners of the club up here. Yeah.
How does he have that kind of dough?
I don't know. He wanted to buy the Cincinnati Reds. That's his dream in life, is to own the Reds, because that's his team where he grew up in Ohio his whole life. He couldn't afford that, so he did buy into a minor league franchise. But we do see him up here from time to time.
You don't find any way he can to cram baseball down our throat.
No, we're talking about Nick Lachey. Excuse me, it was relevant.
Didn't need to know about the baseball.
You
at
were
all.
Saying his job is vacation. I'm saying he does have something else going on, and that's helping to run the club. That's all I'm saying.
Baseball. The season was over today. The Rainier
baseball
would be in the lead.
Wouldn't it be ironic if Bean got beaten to death with a baseball bat?
I think that would be ironic.
I think it would be, too.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, there's nobody good. Let's just move on. Seriously. Got like Liza Minnelli and Al Jarreau, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, it's not handcuffed.
I'm handcuffed here, people. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of spoons, Ralph, given any thought to... maybe a movie that might have dialogue about spoons in it? Has that come up at all lately?
Hope you die.
Hey, he didn't bring it up.
It was your idea.
I hope I die.
You brought it to us.
Yesterday I mentioned that Steph Ramsey had given me an email shout-out saying, Ralph, she needed my help. She said, my friends and I are totally stumped. This is bothering us since Thanksgiving, trying to figure this one out. My friends and family have been working for months. We cannot come up with what movie is this quote from. What are you going to do? Spoon me to death? Please help. Thanks, Steph Ramsey. So we racked our brains in the office yesterday after I got this email. We're just throwing it around. We said, well, you know what we'll do? We always get an answer when we throw it open to the K-Rock listening audience. Somebody out there, in a matter of seconds, will give us a call with the correct answer. We'll go, oh, that's right. That's where I know that line from. Because it is one of those lines that you hear and say, I absolutely remember right. that scene.
I've
I
seen
think
that.
It took place in a kitchen. Somebody had a spoon in their hand. There was an argument going on, and somebody said, "What are you going to do? Spoon me to death?" And that's what opened the Pandora's box yesterday.
Yeah, yep. It did.
And
hijacked the show, didn't it?
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails and phone calls later. Everyone has an answer.
I got about 300 emails of people who were giving me suggestions for what movie. Not suggestions, angry answers. Definitive answers yes. about where it's from.
You idiots. Yeah. It's yes. absolutely, I know 100% it's from fill in the blank.
Dazed and Confused.
So we no. started the research. We started looking on the internet. And then that didn't help us out. And then we started getting calls from listeners, and they had some suggestions, and we took the highest sort of vote getters, people who were absolutely positively sure that it was in certain films, and we sat through. I was watching movies yesterday all day long. That's all I did yesterday. But we had a ton of phone calls from the listeners, and everyone seemed to have an answer. They knew absolutely it was in that particular film. The problem was no one could quite agree.
Just calling to tell you that the spoon you to death quote, I believe it's actually from the film Mystery Men. It was made by Curly Sue. That's the movie.
Remember Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? With a spoon, cousin.
Oh, my God. I heard that on the Aladdin cartoon animated series back in the early 90s.
What are you going to do? Spoon me to death comes from American Pie Presents Band Camp.
Anger Management. With Jack Nicholson.
I believe the movie that you're looking for is The Ref with Kevin Spacey.
Hey, guys, it is Boondock Saints. If you go to the DVD, Chapter 7,
it's from The Truman Show.
Still in Harvard, dumbass.
The movie is Stripes with Bill Murray.
Ralph, your answer is in True Lies when Arnold says to the terrorist, "What are you going to do? You're going to spoon me to death?"
It's actually from Rocky when he's about to fight Apollo Creed.
Ernest goes to jail.
That line wasn't from those movies. It was from Kindergarten Cop with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, sure.
All right. I got it. What are you going to do? Spoon me to death? Definitely. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah.
So it's settled then.
Yes. Everyone seems to think it's from Mystery Men because there is a character in that movie called the Blue Rajah who fights with cutlery.
That sounds like it would make the most sense.
Absolutely. So everyone just said, it's absolutely that. That's 100% that. And the funny thing is, because there was so much internet traffic about this particular question yesterday, someone wrote a blog saying, I have no idea why everyone's so interested. Yahoo number one search is spoon me to death. But apparently people are looking for this movie quote, and I think it's probably from Mystery Men. Some guy wrote that in his blog. So later in the day, I start getting emails from people saying, I found your proof. Here it is. This guy says it's from Mystery Men. A guy who's talking about us talking about it says, I think it may possibly be from Mystery Men.
Well, if there's one thing we've learned, it's that nobody in a blog has any goddamn idea what they're writing
That's
about.
That's true.
We've learned that.
Now, is Mystery Man the number one?
That was the number one
okay.
by far. So we went to Mystery Men.
You and, watched it.
Yes. And there's a
How is it, Ralph?
I like the movie. I've oh, seen it a couple okay. times. And I remembered something about a spoon in there. I said, well, maybe the people are right. Maybe there is a reference. And maybe then Ben Stiller says, what are you going to do? Spoon me to death. So we got the film. We checked it out. We watched it thoroughly and only found one spoon reference.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me.
Oh, man. That's Cucamonga Heat.
That's
not it. We even checked Cucamonga Heat to see if there was a spoon reference in there. Was no spoon reference.
All right, here's Mystery Men.
So your shovel in his face is my friend.
You threw a spoon at the guy, Jeff.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Frankly embarrassed about that. I thought it was a fork.
You're the master of cutlery. You can't throw a knife sometimes.
No, I can't. Use a rake sometimes?
No, I'm the shovel.
Well, I'm the Blue Rajah. I'm not stab man. I'm not knifey boy. I'm the Blue Rajah.
Not knifey boy.
Knifey boy.
Yeah. Oh. So that's the spoon out reference there. In Mystery Men, but, people. So stop saying it's absolutely Mystery Men because it's absolutely not Mystery Men.
But we weren't looking just for the word spoon.
No.
We were hoping for the line.
What are you going to do? Spoon me to death. And there is a moment where he pulls out a spoon in the middle of the fight, but the bad guy he's playing with, playing against, does not say anything about the spoon because he quickly puts it away and pulls out a fork and throws it at him. So,
thank God we can take that one off the list.
So we absolutely got the answer from a girl who worked on The Whole Nine Yards with Matthew Perry, and he said, she said he absolutely says that in the film. Because I remember at the screening when we all went there because we all worked on it, that got the biggest laugh. And I said, well, there's your answer. The girl worked on the goddamn movie. She's got to know. So I go out and I pick up the whole nine yards. And I, yesterday afternoon, sat down and watched the whole nine yards from beginning to end.
Which I enjoyed.
It's an entertaining film, but you know what it doesn't have in it? What are you going to do? Spoon me to death. That's not in that movie.
What was she thinking of? Because I remember something like that. There was no spoon involved?
No one even picks up a spoon.
How about the whole 10 yards?
Well, I said maybe she's mistaken, so I got the whole 10 yards.
Oh, Ralph.
And I
no wonder you're bleeding from the eyes this morning.
The whole 10 yards, not nearly as good a film as the whole 9 yards, by the way. No mention of spoons whatsoever in the whole 10 yards.
Why did so many people say whole 9 yards? It wasn't just the one girl. We got dozens of emails that mentioned that one.
You know why? Because they said this is a line that Matthew Perry says. And so what happened was they made the mistake of a line from Friends that Matthew Perry had said on television.
Right.
Okay. And they thought it must have been from a film that he starred in. They said, no, I got an email yesterday. It absolutely comes from Friends, the TV series. It's not even a movie.
Oh.
I double-checked it with my friend. I called my friend, who's a Friends expert, and she said, absolutely, it's the episode from season 2 called The One After the Super Bowl, because it aired after the Super Bowl, where Brooke Shields plays a stalker to Joey, who's on Days of Our Lives, and she can't tell the difference between his character, Drake Ramore, on the show, and him in real life. And she is stalking him, and when she shows up to the door, he panics, not knowing who the stalker is or what's going to happen to him, and he picks up a spoon. And Chandler says to him, what are you going to do? Spoon her to death. That's what you're looking for. So I go out, and I get season 2 from the Friends series, and I pop in.
Were you cursing our audience at this point?
I pop in the one after the Super Bowl episode.
Right.
And the stalker knocks on the door, and Joey picks up a frying pan. And Chandler says, let's come up with another plan in case she's not a cartoon. Which sounds like spoon, because cartoon and spoon rhyme. Nothing to do with a spoon in that episode. That this bitch was absolutely positively sure was the answer.
You spent how much time yesterday going through
all
media?
I did about 9 hours worth of watching various different
media.
What
about Boondock Saints?
I did not check Boondock Saints.
Okay, because, then that's it.
Because we got so many people writing us saying, no, the line in that is the guy brings a six-shooter to kill 9 people, and he says to the guy who brings the six-shooter, what are you going to do, laugh the other 3 to death?
That's not the same as Spoon.
That's not the same as Spoon.
Not at all.
So we discounted that one early on yesterday.
Okay.
I picked up Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
That was another one.
Yes. Everyone seemed to say that was the one that absolutely had it in it. And Alan Rickman does say, I will cut your heart out with a spoon.
Close.
And then guy says, well, why a spoon, my cousin? And he goes, because, you idiot, it will hurt more.
Okay.
Nothing to do with spoon me to death.
So what's the answer?
Cabin Fever, the movie Cabin Fever.
Cabin Fever.
A lot of people were writing about that.
A lot of people.
What is that?
Cabin Fever, the one where it's the horror movie where the kids go to the cabin and get the flesh-eating virus and they...
Yeah, from like 2 years ago.
Did you see that movie?
I did see that movie.
Oh, okay.
By this point...
You picked it up?
Had to stop because the sun was starting to rise this morning.
So leave for work.
Omar fell on the sword for that one, picked it up, watched that, said there's no mention of any spoon in that. And Lightning realized that someone had written a story on the internet called Cabin Fever that had, what are you going to do, kill me with a spoon in it.
Wow.
But had no connection to the film whatsoever. So everyone went on the internet and saw something, Cabin Fever, and said, oh, it's that movie, when it was some sort of story, fictional story that
so
was written.
So what's the answer?
The answer is, are you waiting for this?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have no idea where what are you going to do, spoon me to death, comes from.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to suggest that if we did that much research, that line does not exist in a movie as spoken.
I agree.
We came to the conclusion yesterday that it sounds so much like a line from a movie that everyone assumes it's from a movie that they've seen. It seems so familiar. It rings so true to them that they absolutely believe that they have seen it in a film somewhere. But I think Steph Ramsey, at some point over Thanksgiving dinner, somebody said, what are you going to do, spoon me to death? And they said, oh, what movie is that from?
Yep.
And somebody said, you know, I can't remember, but it sure sounds familiar, but it doesn't freaking exist!
It's nowhere. So your use of time yesterday, would you say, was...
Well spent.
It was productive?
Well spent. And I'll tell you, I sure know the comic stylings of Matthew Perry. I've got that down pat. I know his work inside and out now.
shouldn't everyone who berated us yesterday via email and phone calls have to apologize and send us a dollar for how mad they were at us that we couldn't see that they were right?
We would make millions.
And for your rental fees.
Oh, rental. I don't have a rental card anywhere, so I actually went to Best Buy and I went out with a stack of DVDs that I purchased. So anybody needs a slightly used copy of the 9 or 10 whole yards, just drop me a line. I'm getting rid of it cheap.
A couple days ago, our man Ralph Garman, who is from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, came in and was telling us that he was a little homesick. He was missing an event that goes on at this time every year back home where they have some sort of beer week. I guess it's a celebration of all of the beer industry back there in Philadelphia. Apparently they have tens of thousands of people work in the breweries. They got something like 20 microbrews there. The history of beer in Philadelphia goes all the way back to the founder of the city, William Penn, back in 1680 had a brewery. And there's been beer made ever since. And they have a big party, right?
How come we don't have a beer week?
I don't know. It does sound pretty cool.
I know there's not a lot of microbreweries here that I'm aware of, but really, a beer week, it should be everywhere.
Well, if we had beer week, we would be aware of those microbreweries.
It should kick off on St. Patrick's Day and should go for the next week. I think this week is beer week in Philadelphia, though.
That's right. They've got parades and games and pub crawls and the whole thing. And we thought maybe it's something we need to investigate so that we can get something going in Southern California. So we asked producer Lightning to line up the guy. I guess he's the brewmaster, the man behind Philadelphia's Beer Week, on the line with us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, we're looking for the spokesman for Beer Week, please.
Nope.
No, but we are.
This sounds like it might be our friend David Hasselhoff. Is that you, Dave?
Yes.
You're running Beer Week in Philadelphia?
Uh-huh.
So you're in Philadelphia right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Have you been drinking beer today at all?
This is a mess.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Can you get your wits about you enough to tell us about Beer Week in Philly?
Nope.
No.
What kinds of things are going to be going on Philly Beer Week?
Drinking.
I see. I see there's brewery tours and pub crawls and seminars and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, I'm all right.
But we didn't ask that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having another Carl's Jr. burger laying without a shirt on the hotel room floor?
Yes.
Wow.
David...
Is there anyone else there that can give us details on Beer Week?
Nope.
No.
Is your daughter running a video camera or something that we can talk to her?
No.
Okay. Look, maybe you're not the best choice to run an alcohol-centered event based on your history of problems with substance abuse in recent months.
Mm.
David?
What?
Maybe you're not the guy that should be having this job.
Why not?
Well, you've had problems with alcohol. You've gone to rehab many times for it.
Mm.
Something called Beer Week seems like it might be encouraging you down the wrong road.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe you should stay away from something called Beer Week because
nope.
It might just... Okay.
Mm. This is a mess.
So how long has it been going on now?
Starts today.
Okay. Starts today?
And you're already like this?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the spokesman for the whole week?
Yeah.
All right.
We don't want to call you on Monday, I'll tell you that.
Yes, we do.
Nope.
Well, I hope you enjoy it. I mean,
I sounds...
You all right, David?
This is a mess.
Uh-oh. You're going down, Dave.
All right.
David?
Happy Beer Week.
Yeah, happy Beer Week. Happy Beer Week.
I drink a lot of beer.
Right.
Yes. This is a mess.
Sure is.
You okay?
I like beer.
Yeah.
I like to drink a lot of beer.
Right.
I drink it all the time.
David?
I drink it.
You okay?
I'm sorry, I couldn't make that out.
What?
David, do you think anyone else gets that joke? I can't make that out.
Is that Omar laughing in the other room?
Omar, is it Beer Week? can't.
We can't make out anything say? Anymore. I'm sorry, Dave.
Omar's what? An owl?
Omar is.
What? Omar is an owl, is what we're getting. Yes? Omar is an owl. Okay. That's a good tip. All right, well, take care.
I think you'll like this one. I think you'll be pleased with this one. Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock, 7:45, Wednesday morning. Listen up.
Psycho Mike's birthday, Psycho Mike's birthday, ooh, Psycho Mike's birthday. Arrogant things are going to happen. I like me, I like me. Psycho Mike's birthday, outside my window. Psycho Mike's birthday, behind the tree. I wish Psycho Mike could see that he's a big douchebag and looks faggy. And it's Psycho Mike's birthday outside my window pane.
I'm Psycho Mike. Roid rage. Lift weights. Get you pumped up. Me. I like me. I say I'm not gay, but come on. Really? I got small balls because of all the steroids. Slayer. Me. Me, me, me. Me, me, me. Me. More me. More me.
Psycho Mike's birthday.
What are you guys doing singing? Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. It's my birthday. It's my birthday. It's all about me. It's me. It's my birthday. Me. Stop singing. It's me. I am God's gift to women. Me. But I'm gay.
Yeah, there's that too.
Here's what I love about Mike. Even though that song so brilliantly and eloquently lays out all the reasons Mike annoys us and all the reasons we hate spending time with him, he's still so happy that someone is talking about him. That's what's beautiful about
That's
him.
All it
Mike's
takes.
Birthday isn't till Saturday, but he'll be happy to know that we'll be celebrating it all week long thanks to Omar's latest masterpiece. It's 7:46 on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about the Afro line? How about 323-520-AFRO? You call us anytime, day or night. Leave a message. We play it back on the radio.
You know, when we do Thanks for That Info Bean,
yes,
we started by saying, well, you guys got to listen to this song. We had to listen to Bean.
While you guys are having your little talks off the air, this is what's happening on the air. In case you didn't recognize it because the song is so old,
yeah.
That's goddamn Modest Yahoo that you're playing. Still, I thought we were done. It went away for a while. Why is it back? God damn you, Mr. Weatherby. Damn you to hell. Watch your back.
The people love us.
Just so you know, Kevin and I took a meeting with Mr. Weatherby last week, and we said, what's up with Modest Yahoo? And he said, the people love him. So apparently there is some support out there for that song. So
hey, guys,
so you know.
It's K-Rock listener Dave. I was at a show tonight, and I don't know. What happened in Jericho? I have to know. Jericho, Tuesday night, 10 p.m. What happened?
There was some fallout, and some people were hoarding food. And uh-huh. Then some other people tried to take their food, and then they
Isn't
drove
that
out.
Every episode? Isn't that sounds, all the episodes?
Yeah, gotta watch it. I watched
nuts.
I watched the first one. And then someone says,
nuts.
Yeah. We have some great links up at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. Internet Roundup,
yes,
I believe, is the section where you can find Human Tetris, perhaps the greatest game show in the history of television.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. If I have a really bad day, all I do is go online and watch your Human Tetris. Chinese people, they put the good stuff on.
Chinese.
Japanese, Chinese, whatever.
Same thing. Fremantle Media, the company behind American Idol, America's Got Talent, and The Price is Right, along with a major television network, are looking for trios, friends, coworkers, and spouses to take part in one of the most outrageous, funny, and challenging game shows ever seen on television. Yes, they are casting for the U.S. version of
yes!
Human Tetris. It is happening right now, ladies and gentlemen.
That's great.
It's a moving wall that has like a chalk outline of a body with a hole cut in it, and if you don't get in that exact position, the wall knocks you into a pool of water.
Yep.
It's inexplicable, but it's fantastic.
You have to see it.
That is good TV.
I think we may have to send a team. There may have to be some sort of Kevin and Bean team on Human Tetris on one of the episodes. Would that be awesome?
Only if you're part of it, Bean. 6'6", you'd be able to really, and you can move like a pretzel, so that'd be good.
Kevin, I'm watching American Idol, and they're doing the Beatles.
Yeah.
Two of your favorite things. Together, American Idol Beatles.
Yeah, no thanks.
He has everything you love.
The peoples continue to love us.
Kevin and Bean are really, really lame. They're really lame. Lame, 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 lame.
Very creative song. Thank you, sir, for that.
Listen, all I'm saying is, if we counted
spring training as the regular season, and that's all we counted, the Dodgers would almost be champions of the world. That's what I'm talking about. Mike, you know what I'm talking about, brother.
Yeah.
Keep the love going.
Yeah.
It's all blue inside, baby. Dodgers!
When does the actual season start?
March 31st, I think.
Still 2 weeks, really?
Very soon. Coming up right around the corner, dude. Come on.
There's a fat pig named Rachel Ray that has a cooking show.
Yes.
And she's way annoying. She's way too happy. And Omar's the guy who pointed her out to us because he's so angry with her. He hates her with an unnatural hatred. She's going to be doing a showcase at the South by Southwest New Music Festival in Austin this weekend.
Really?
Yes. Because her husband's in a group. Oh, I hate her.
So I'm flipping through the channels, and guess what pops up on the Food Channel? Rachel Ray cooks for your pets. That's right, Omar. Set your TiVo.
For your pets.
Oh, boy.
And she's one of those people that's just so fake excited that you go, no, no one's that happy. It's just not possible.
Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray.
Remember that horrible song, A Bay Bay?
I do.
Remember when Omar sung that?
Rachel Ray. I hate this bitch. Now when I holler Rachel Ray, all I want to do is choke her. Every time she opens up her trap, she sounds like a chain smoker. Using words like yummo, I can't believe this hoe. She's so fat, the last thing she needs is a cooking show. Claiming to make good meals like in under 30 minutes. Maybe her dumb fat ass should be using that time for fitness. She is really fat. She be using words like, oh my gravy. Let's all face it, this big bitch is really, really crazy. And when I see a fat chick, I'm hollering, Rachel Ray.
Rachel Ray.
All I wanna do is take your heart out and I'll fillet. Then I wanna take your boobay and your vajayjay. Stick them in a blender and then hit puree. And you know when I say she's a whore? Rachel Ray. Faking being cheery and happy? Rachel Ray. Can't make a cup of coffee? Rachel Ray. Put a bullet in her knee? Rachel Ray.
I wanna
stab her. Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray.
She's really fat.
Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray.
Yeah.
You've heard the best and the worst of Omar in the last few minutes, haven't you?
Did he rhyme coffee and bullet in her knee?
Yeah.
I believe so, yes.
All right. Good times. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
What, Ralph?
People sending me emails.
Well,
what are they complaining about
anger
now?
Anger management. Anger management's where it is. You're an idiot. Go to anger management.
You're
that's,
an idiot.
That's where
I love
the
that.
That's where the line, what are you going to do, spoon me to death, is.
Well, I think since you brought it onto the air.
Spy Kids 2, Island of Lost Dreams. I swear, it's in the first 15 minutes. Go get it and watch it. Now I'm just writing people like, you know what? You get it and watch it. And then when you find the audio, call us up and play it for us over the phone.
I think
and
you
we'll
owe
give
us.
You a major prize.
Yes.
We'll give you a grand prize of some sort.
You don't want to watch more movies today?
No!
You only watched like 8 yesterday.
And the second season of Friends.
Right, that too.
People, listen, stop with your guesses. We're not taking guesses anymore. Now we're taking hard proof. When you have it in your hot little hands, this is the movie. I just saw it. Here's the quote. The exact line, exact quote. And you have the audio, then we'll talk.
And all you a-holes out there that have to add you dumbasses or some type of insult to your emails.
It's right there.
F you.
You idiots. It's right there in Zorro. No, it's not.
So prove it is what you're saying.
Yes.
That's right. We need proof, God damn it.
Okay. That sounds fair, by the way.
All right. Moving forward.
Ralph at KRock.com.
You ready for a Sopranos movie?
Yes.
Would you like to see The Sopranos up on the big screen?
Yes.
Would you be interested in that?
Yes.
Would you enjoy it?
Yes.
Is that something you'd like to see?
I would enjoy that.
Would you go to see such a film?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very interested, 1 being not interested at all, how interested are you in seeing a Sopranos major feature film?
Is Tony Soprano in it?
Yes.
He's a fag.
I'm in. How dare you?
So he's not dead.
Well, Lisa, here's the thing. Rumors now are circulating about a Sopranos feature film because the manager of a nightclub / strip club called Satin Dolls received a secretive phone call.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Satin Dolls in Jersey doubles as the infamous Bada Bing.
Aha.
Okay.
Where Tony and his crew make their headquarters.
Their office.
So once the series was over, Nick D'Urso, yo, Nick, how's it going? He was going to renovate Satin Dolls. He was going to do a brand new... Inside and Out. He was going to do it over.
Mm-hmm.
Because he figured, you know, plays had been played and everyone had seen on television stuff. He was going to spruce the place up.
Sure. Okay.
So he makes plans to do that, and he gets a phone call that says, why don't you hold off on redoing the satin dolls?
Really?
Because we'd still like to use that as a location for a feature film that's coming up.
Really?
Interesting. They don't want me to make any major changes, Nick said. I'm not going to reveal my sources, but we got a call from somebody working on the script. HBO has no comment on Nick's assertion, but it does seem as if at least there are tentative plans to do a Sopranos film. Now, would it be what happens after the lights go out, Don't Stop Believing, the finale, or would it be a story that takes place
before
earlier in the Sopranos regime or during? We don't know. But anyway, encouraging news that we might see the Sopranos once again.
You answer me like I'm Jesus Christ himself, and if you f***ing lie to me, make your mother die, I can't show the eyes.
I'm not lying, Tony. Just tell him this
story. He needs to come back. You know what they should do is they should go back earlier when his mom was still alive. She was a great character.
Yeah.
I loved her. Remember that? She was all crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But they may
they should
not
do
be
the
able
prequel
to
there.
She might
but
be a hard Kevin, get, as they say in the business.
May not be able to
she's busy?
Find her.
She's
up.
Busy.
She's busy.
Feeding worms. Here's interesting news. The TiVo Series 3 DVR.
Yes.
Will apparently be programmed to offer you on your television set Google and YouTube.
Really? So you can watch YouTube on your TV?
Through TiVo.
Interesting.
Okay. How about that? If you have high-speed internet and you've got the new TiVo Series 3 DVR, you'll be able to watch both Google and TiVo. It'll be programmed into your box.
How about that?
That's what she said. So to speak. That's just nuts. That's pretty interesting. I love me the TiVo, by the way.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best thing ever. And here's the thing. And you know I'm happy with my DirecTV. I love the DirecTV service. So I don't want to bitch. But DirecTV and TiVo used to be in business together. They used to make the DirecTV TiVo box.
Right.
That you could put together and you could have all the best features of TiVo and your DirecTV all in the same box.
Right.
And that doesn't happen anymore. They stopped doing that.
Yeah, right. I still have that one.
I still have that one too, Lisa. However, are you getting the threatening phone calls?
No.
From TiVo? I mean from DirecTV.
They won't support it after a certain amount of time. Yeah.
If you don't get our new box and your new dish, you're not going to get all the HD programs that we offer here on DirecTV with HD.
Yeah.
You need to get our box and our DVR and our new dish or else F you, DirecTV user.
And there are a lot. There are like 75 new channels or something. It's amazing.
And I don't care about A&E and high definition. I don't really need to see, Diagnosis Murder or whatever the hell they're showing over there these days in high def. But
right?
They're threatening me with the basic TV channels, like the network channels in HD. They're saying I'm not going to get those. I've been fighting with these people. They've been calling me up. Mr. Garman, you haven't made your arrangements to get your new box. I was like, I love my TiVo. I don't want to give up my TiVo. What can I do? There's nothing you can do, sir. Well, then, I don't think I want your box. Okay, we're going to put that in your record.
Oh.
I was like, oh, hold on. What? We're gonna put that in the record. What? Wait, there's a record now? I've got a record with DirecTV? I didn't even know about it.
Are they threatening to cut you off altogether?
What else is in my record? Hold on a second. There's a dossier on me. What other facts are in there? I don't know. We had a very...
adult movies you've watched.
Very threatening phone call. All right, we're going to put that in your record.
Tax information.
Oh, my God. Oh,
please don't put it in my record. Like it was in the principal's office.
By the way, the new one is pretty much like the TiVo. I got the new one. It's pretty much the same thing. It's got Spike High Def and a lot of good high def channels.
But is it as good a DVR as the TiVo?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. It's not identical, obviously, but
I've heard it's not user-friendly. It's not as user-friendly
quite, but it's pretty close.
TiVo is the best of all the menus. There's no question about that.
Yeah, it's worth it.
I don't trust you.
If you're going,
I don't trust you at all.
I am.
I think you're working for DirecTV.
I am an extreme user.
I haven't seen my record.
I've seen the account in your record. Yes.
Yes.
You can dispute Kevin if you'd like, but that also goes into your record, Ralph.
I
know that you want that.
That's what I'm worried about. Holy crap! Look at the time. Today's celebrity birthdays. I know. What am I going to do? I'm out of time. I got to move on.
Can't give us one story?
I gave you Sopranos and YouTube on TiVo.
All right. We'll have to wait till the next hour.
I don't know. What do you want from me? Winona Ryder got popped for shoplifting again.
That's fantastic.
Source tells gossip columnist Janet Charlton that she was stopped by security at the CVS drugstore in Hollywood recently. And when they looked in the purse, they found a few items of makeup which had not been paid for. Winona couldn't understand how it happened.
How did that get in there?
Apparently management of the CVS allowed her just to settle her debt, pay for the items, and let her go on her way, so police were not called.
What? Those are in my purse?
What?
How could...
What?
But...
Yeah, she's got a problem with stealing things. And she stole, like, jock itch cream and things she can't even use. It was pointless.
I hope.
Can I do birthdays now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays, nobody good.
All right.
Although we did find out that Ron Jeremy is celebrating his birthday today. So
the
at
hedgehog.
Least, if you're born today, at least you and the hog share a special day together. And as you know, Ron can perform fellatio on himself. So he's got that going for him.
Sure.
Happy birthday,
Ralph,
Ron.
We had a conversation with Lisa earlier about how much you would have to pay her to have sex with Ron Jeremy. What do you suppose her number was?
Her number was $300,000.
I started there, but
she started there, but we whittled her down realistically.
Well, yeah, because once you say $300,000, you go, well, $299, not enough for you?
And
you go, well, all
right. And then Beam went to, is $50,000 enough? And I said, yes, but no kissing.
No kissing?
No.
That's her final offer.
Yeah.
$50,000, no kissing.
The upside is he does have a monstrous hog.
I had to take that into consideration.
You got that going for
him. He could be in the next room. He wouldn't have to be in the same room as you.
True.
Just sneak it around.
He could set up a glory hole situation for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that turned ugly.
He's got a piece of plywood.
I'm just making breakfast chit-chat here, and all of a sudden it just got ugly and graphic.
Plywood with a router and just
okay,
a little sandpaper. Make sure the edges are smooth.
And that's the celebrity birthday.
Slap a coat of paint on there.
Please
just get you right up again.
Human Tetris.
Good night, Human Tetris.
Exactly. Talk about your human cat Tetris, yeah. Right.
I drink your milkshake.
Oh, yes. Stop.
Happy birthday, Ron. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yesterday we were talking about Elliot Spitzer, this dude that used to be the attorney general in New York. Now he's the governor. He's apparently been seeing a hooker for about 10 years. Spent about $70,000.
Yeah.
Just so you know, by the way, K-Rock listeners who maybe do what I do, which is tune Doc out, he will only be the governor for a couple of more hours. He is stepping down today. He has finally decided that he's got to resign or he's going to get impeached and it's just not worth it. Yeah. So, yeah. So we're going to have a new blind governor of the state of New York starting today.
You mean he doesn't know anything about being governor?
I mean, he can't see is what I mean.
Here's the question, though. And when you see him up there given the press statement, and you see his wife, who's clearly dead inside, standing next to him.
Wasn't she, though?
Didn't she look like she had ceased living
there
about
no
a year ago?
In there.
Yeah, she was just gone.
Yeah.
And I don't know what makes women do that. I guess they're probably in, you know, it could be they've been with him for a long time. It could be just political expediency. She likes being the first lady of New York.
My feeling is that is just the political spouse's deal. Is
they
United
that.
Front. That's what
but
happened.
In her case, in Mrs. Spitzer's case, and by the way, how rough must it be going through life with a name like Spitzer? Seriously, if you're a girl. But she had to see the writing on the wall and realize why embarrass herself when she knows she's only going to be first lady for a couple of more days. I mean, there's no way he was going to be able to survive this. So it's not like she was putting up the brave United front because she thought they were going to stay in the governor's
mansion.
No, I
disagree because I heard a news report on my way in this morning. I mean, things have changed since then that she was urging him not to resign. So
well, sure,
I think
she doesn't want to give up the mansion. And the.
But being suggesting that she knew, I'm suggesting she thought there was a chance he could stay.
Then she's stupid for more than one reason then.
I'm not arguing that.
Here's a report that has some of the examples of some of the high-profile press statements that have been given recently.
A lot of people are asking, why do wives stand by their cheating husbands?
I must now dedicate some time to regain the trust of my family.
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
Because shamefully, I engaged in an adult consensual affair with another man, which violates my bonds of matrimony.
Sex scandals, powerful politicians, and the wives who stand by their side. We've seen this so many times in recent years. They're now called stand by your man moments.
I look at those women and I think they might as well be in Perda. They might as well be Taliban women with scarves over their heads standing there because not once has any woman ever said, this is not acceptable.
So they're terrorists. That's what you're saying now.
No, she's saying they just are kept. They're kept down. They're too much swaying to what the man wants them to do rather than be independent and do what's best for them, I think is what that commentator suggests.
Most of them have been political wives for a long time.
Including Hillary Clinton, by the way.
They know the
deal. That's a deal where you know the fact is that she wanted to get elected to president, so they made a deal, blah, 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 blah.
Well, we don't know that.
Now
but I mean, there are
that.
A lot of people who suppose that. But I'm glad you brought up Hillary Clinton. And this is part of the reason why we wanted to have this discussion on the air today and invite your calls, I think particularly from women this morning at 1-800-520-1067. What your thoughts are when you see, and in this case, the latest one is Governor Spitzer's wife, Silda, I think is her name. When you see them standing up there behind their man when they've just been
completely and publicly humiliated. What is it you think about them? Do you think that's a great thing that they're doing, or is it a horrible thing that they're doing? Are they making a big mistake? Are they making fools of themselves? Or are they doing what's right for the sake of sometimes of their marriage or for their children? But it's funny you should bring up Hillary, because I saw someone on the news the other day, and they were interviewing people on the street about who you're going to vote for in the election, right? And she said, I would never vote for Hillary Clinton. And the interviewer said, how come? And she said, because she didn't leave Bill when he had that affair. Mm. And that was, in her mind, a defining character moment. That's not the kind of woman that I like, that I want to trust, that I want to know anything about, because anyone who would stand by and let something like that happen is not somebody that I'm comfortable casting a vote for. So people do really make real strong opinions based on the decision that the wife makes.
The only thing I would say about that is you don't know what the relationship was like. You know, maybe even with Elliot Spitzer, you don't know if they were having sex at all or if his wife was horrible to him, whatever. I mean, you do think about kids. That seems to make a big difference. But you don't
know.
And they
had – the governor has three pretty young kids, I think, in their situation.
Teenage girls,
and
I believe.
That definitely figures into the decision.
Yeah,
but, I mean, standing there when he makes his press conference isn't saying anything about what's going to happen in a year, or that there's any chance of repairing it, or that she's even going to try. It's just saying, to me, she's doing what she's supposed to do politically.
The message comes across to young women and young men as well. No matter whether you lie or cheat or humiliate your wife, it's okay. You can grow up to be president, you can grow up to be senator or governor, and it's okay.
I don't think that's the message that's coming through, because
I don't either.
Because it doesn't seem to be okay for those people. I mean, every once in a while they squeak through and they keep their job or whatever. But like Elliot Spitzer, for example, he's going to step down today, and it didn't.
But most of them keep their wives, though. I think that's what that person is talking about. Is that I'll accept that behavior from you and stay with you.
Here's what I know. I know black women would beat the hell out of their man. I know that. And I know Hispanic women. I do know one that used to be married to our governor.
Yeah.
Mayor. You don't mean the mayor, do you?
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa's wife, who not only kicked him out of the house, but stayed in the governor, the mayor's mansion.
Damn straight.
He was living someplace else. She was living in the mansion.
He was in a one-bedroom apartment in Venice.
That's pretty strong. He's in his car, you know, eating Taco Bell. And she's in the mayor's mansion.
Now, that's an interesting example. Let me ask you about the mayor. Mike, you may remember this better than I do, but when he had to face the press corps like the governor of New York did this week and address the stories about his affair with the Telemundo reporter or whatever, was his wife standing behind him, or was his wife already out of there?
Originally, I don't recall his wife being there. I don't recall him.
So she wasn't standing by her man?
I don't think she was.
And he even didn't even hold like a public apology type press conference. He was already at some type of city council meeting and just kind of worked that in. Like, to my constituents, I just want to say I'm sorry, but this is a personal issue, and I'll handle it personally, and it'll be taken care of.
Right.
And by the way, it's, you know, we happen to be talking about a lot of politicians, but I mean, there are lots of stories like this. I mean, Kobe, when he had, you know, his incident in Colorado, remember, he had the big press conference where Vanessa was standing right there beside him, and they're still together. And a lot of people thought that she no way should have ever stayed with that dude based on what he did.
That's a pretty big ring, though. Let's talk to Lily in Cyprus. Good morning. Good morning, Lily.
Morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Lily.
You're calling about Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, you know, I think if they were poor, I don't think they'd be staying.
If they were poor, they wouldn't stay.
Yeah, the bigger the ring, the more presence, the, you know, popularity, the intimacy or whatever, I think they stay.
It is possible that the money and or power and or fame is good for the woman, too, and maybe she likes that and doesn't want
What's
it to go
What's going to happen to Governor Spitzer's wife, though? He may never work again. I mean, he may get disbarred as a result of, you know, this potential federal charges that are going to be held against him. So he won't even be able to get work as a lawyer, which is all he's ever been. What money and fame is ahead for that couple? Will she stay with him?
Well, she'll probably leave after.
Is she already gone?
Oh, he'll be fine. We forgive these people. He's going to have a talk show on the radio in 5 years, and he's been doing speaking engagements. He's going to be fine.
I think if people buy the apology, we are an extremely forgiving society.
Yep.
I agree.
If they buy the apology. If they don't, then you're kind of screwed. But all right. Thank you for the call, Lily. We'll take some more calls at 1-800-520-1067. What do you think when you see that woman with the dead eyes behind him? That's the phone topic. We'll take your calls.
Talking about Governor Spitzer, his press conference a couple of days ago, which, by the way, lasted less than a minute when he got up in front of the audience of the press and said, yeah, I've got some troubles. I may have let a few people down. Of course, now he's resigning, stepping down today. His dumb wife was standing there right behind him, and no one matter about her even being seen with her husband than our own assistant producer, Super Whore Alex, who joins us in the studio. Then we're going to get right to your phone calls here on The Kevin Amin Show. Alex, why so steamed about this woman?
Dude! What are you bitches thinking? What are you thinking? This is so denigrating to women. It takes us back like 500 years. It's like, okay, honey, you could do whatever. I'll stand here and support you.
But what do you want her to do? You want her to cut his testicles off and bring them out in a jar? I mean, is that what you'd like to see
happen? That's what she
would do. I want her to do what every wife would do in private behind, you know, closed doors and throw a chair at his head and take him for 50% of everything he's worth.
But she's not a private person. She's a part of a political couple.
And it's funny because Lightning and I had a fascinating discussion yesterday. You guys wish you had been in the office. And my whole thing is, you know, if he writes a bill and it fails, she's not standing there. If he does something great and
succeeds.
Yeah, but
he doesn't go on TV and apologize for it either.
Yeah, but she didn't commit the act. It wasn't like they committed an illegal activity together.
Right.
All right, what would you like her to do? You don't want her to stand there by her husband and support him. What do you want her to do?
Look, if they want to work it out in private, if they have an open marriage or if they have a deal or she's like, you can do it, but once you embarrass me in public, it's over – fine, have at it. Whatever happens in your marriage happens. But this political idea that his handlers get together and say you should stand next to him because it looks good for him is horrific. It's basically saying the act of the wife standing next to him is condoning what he did and saying it's cool, it's no big deal. I'm going to hold his hand and smile like a robot.
But what if she held a sign that said, I'm really mad? She just held it up while he was talking. She just held it up.
I think that sign is going to be held with all the new vacation she has, all the new jewelry she's going to have, and his life's going to be miserable. He's never going to make a decision for the next 45 years of his life because whatever she says goes.
Oh, yeah? What about that thing where you did the deal with the hooker? What
Remember
about that?
Time? And he has three teenage daughters.
Yeah, there is that.
How do you, as a father,
think that that also motivates her to be there?
In public, I would take my three daughters and I would take them behind closed doors and I would just go away from all the hubbub of the press and media.
But I think she's concerned about their future.
Yeah, and she'll be
fine. And if he has a future, then her kids have...
See, she used to be an attorney and Brian gave up his career when she married him.
Gave up her career. Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so she'll be fine. She has a law degree and, you know, because they were married, you know, she'll have funds to take care of herself and the kids.
This is the thing. This happens... the day after the thing is discovered. I mean, don't you think she's just shell-shocked right now?
Exactly.
Like, she hasn't thought about, I'm an attorney, I can get a job.
Shouldn't prey upon your wife just for your political gain. To use your wife as a pawn like that, look, I know it's not original. I know politicians have been doing it forever. I mean, they're doing it right now in the presidential election. In the commercials, you have to have the family out there and walking through a field and the stupid Labradors run by and vote for me for president. Yay! But it just...
So you think it would have been cooler of him to say, I don't want you to stand at the podium because I don't want to do that to you.
Exactly.
I agree with that.
I've embarrassed you enough.
I'm just thinking that I understand why she
Plus, my last name is Spitzer. And that's got to be hard.
She should go back to her maiden name, whatever it is. By the way, I love that the chick he was banging, his little 18-year-old hooker, is like 2 years older than his oldest daughter. I love that, by the way. That's fantastic. Let's talk to Laura in Huntington Beach real quick before the break. We'll get to as many calls as we can at 1-800-520-1067. Laura, it sounds like you're on Alex's side on this one.
I agree with her completely. I see nothing stoic about it. I see no strength in it whatsoever. And honestly, that was the same reason that I did not and will not vote for Hillary Clinton as well. I was so angry when she stood by Bill.
But Laura, let me just take his side for a second, which I don't really care if you support him or them or not, or you vote for whoever. I don't care. But what if they had a deal where they weren't getting along for a long time? They were just friends. They just decided it was a business relationship. She wanted to be in the Senate. She wanted to run for president. I mean, it kind of worked for her, too, in that case.
I mean, I think maybe it could work for her, but I think it could have also worked against her because obviously there are a lot of women like myself and like the previous caller that took it as a sign of weakness that she stood by him. And so that could actually play against her in the election where she's not going to get the votes because of that. And look, I'm married. I've been married for 10 years. I have three children. I was having this discussion with my husband last night after watching the news because I was so angry and so passionate.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you right now. I can hear you in my head.
If that ever happened to me, you son of a bitch!
Laura, let me ask you this question. Are there any circumstances under which you could see staying with your husband if you found out that he had been hiring prostitutes?
For me personally, no.
Spending $80,000 over 10 years.
No, because I think it's such a sign of disrespect for you as the wife, for your family, for everyone involved. It's a selfish, motivated act. It has nothing to do with your family or your wife. And so I would have made my husband go up there and look humiliated by himself
There's no way I would have stood next to him. And I just, they do, they look like robots. They're like idiots the way they stand back there like, we support you, honey, you know? It was so frustrating to me.
I think what bothers me the most is he's allowed to be shameful in that moment, but bringing your wife upstage, that puts the shame on her as well, as if somehow she's responsible or has a role to play in this. She doesn't. Right. You own your sins all by yourself. Your wife should have to stand there and take your shame as well.
Yeah, and maybe they did have a problem in their marriage. And again, you know, I don't live with them. You know, we don't live with these people. We don't know what goes on in their private lives. Maybe, you know, they had a horrible sex life. Maybe they had a miserable marriage. But still, it's the fact that she goes up there and stands next to him as though she does support him. And that's the part that angers me. As a woman, as a wife, as a mom.
Laura, I'm glad you called. Very articulate, very well put. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
We need to take a quick break. Obviously, we have a lot of very fired up people on the phones right now, by the way, and a lot of people who don't agree with you guys, it turns out, as well.
People who
see why she stands by him. There are reasons.
Bring it on.
So.
I love it.
All right, we'll take those calls in a second at 1-800-520-106. You are listening to the Kevin.
What?
Professionals.
What happened?
I tried to put on my headphones real fast, and I'm choking myself with the wire.
You're so retarded.
Oh, my God.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Kevin just hit himself in the head.
I'm good now.
Talking about Governor Spitzer, his poor dead on the inside robot wife standing at his side a couple days ago as he confessed basically to wrongdoing. And people are asking, what's up with these women? What's up with these wives?
And then there are the wives. Why do women like Dina McGreevy, despite unimaginable humiliation, publicly stand by their men?
You had an hour to decide whether to stand by your husband while he said, I've been cheating on my wife with a man.
Right. Was my daughter, and it was also for, you know, me, I had always been there by his side. It was an automatic response.
Some of them do it because they love the guy. Some of them do it because they think that it's the wrong time to take away the support.
Many experts we spoke to today say ultimately the motives of people in situations like this are unknowable, and the damage to families, careers, and the public trust is incalculable.
Let's talk to Ben in L.A. He's on line 7. He has a difference of opinion with some of the group that has been expressing it already this morning on the air. Ben, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning. Now, please understand, I do not condone what he's done.
Okay.
At whatsoever. I mean, I am on the flip side of that through my marriage in the past also. So,
meaning that your wife cheated on you?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And we stayed married for an additional 7 years after that.
Was that a good choice?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I was able to let it go. I forgave her. I through that, we healed, and our marriage kind of renewed after that. There's a lot of, stuff to that. But my bottom line is that whatever happened to the vows that you took, I mean, I know he broke his vows, but still, for better or for worse, richer or poorer, sickness and health.
See, I don't think better or worse is referring to cheating or not cheating.
Everything goes with that.
No.
Hold on. There's nothing perfect in life. There's nothing perfect in marriage. Everything needs work. Everybody's human. Everybody makes a sin. Everybody falls down. Everybody picks themselves back up again.
Now, let me ask you this question, though. Does it make a difference to you, Ben, that it seems to have been over a course of 10 years where he spent like $80,000? I mean, it seems like it's an ongoing problem
there.
Yeah, that
is so different to me than a boo-boo.
I didn't say it was a boo-boo, and as I said in the beginning, I didn't condone what he did.
Right, but I'm saying, does it make a difference if it's a one-time slip or if it's a 10-year continuous pattern?
I believe it's a big difference. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Hey, Ben, I'm curious.
I think that's what we're saying, Ben. Okay. No more than that.
Hey, Ben, I'm curious. If your wife had to apologize on CNN and you had to stand next to her in front of the national audience, would you have stood there with her?
Yes, I would.
Oh, you're lying. That's cute, though.
No. What?
Oh, you're listening? Oh, never mind. All right, thank you, Ben.
Thanks for the call, Ben. Let's talk to M in the LBC. She's on line 5, talking about Governor Spitzer's wife standing by her man, at least so far. M, what say you?
You know, I would love to say that, you know, we really should not tolerate this. She should have not been standing next to him. But when it happened to me, I reacted completely differently than I would have predicted myself to.
Mm-hmm. So you found yourself in that kind of situation?
I was blindsided by it. Even I was so in denial about it that one of his coworkers called me and said, you know, he's cheating on you, by the way.
Wow.
Oh.
I reported him, and he got fired for that.
Was he cheating with a coworker?
Yes, he was.
So you called his boss and said, he's cheating on me. He's sleeping with someone there.
I called his boss and had the coworker get fired.
Oh, that's snap.
Wow.
Well, I'm in love with him right now.
You're right. It's inappropriate that she did that.
It's inappropriate that his coworker called me. That's why he got fired. But anyway.
Oh, wait a minute. So, you got the guy who told you your husband was cheating on you fired, not the girl that he was cheating on you with?
No, that's how bad I was in denial.
I see.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Wow.
I want to break up with you right now.
I'm over it. That was a long time ago, and I have 100% custody.
Does it make difference?
And physical.
Does it make a difference that they have kids? I imagine that would complicate things a lot.
I had a six-month-old at the time.
And so
it does. And I never thought I would be able to even think about forgiving him for doing something like that. But when you're kind of blindsided by the reality of it, you don't, you know, like you react later. It takes a couple of months at least for you to get the anger. You're humiliated.
Were you scared that you wouldn't be able to support?
I slept with him and he slept with that. You need time to process all this. And, you know, I wish women would, you know, get the baseball bat out and, you know, right away.
Me too.
Like Lisa would. That's what Lisa would do, man. She's already got it planned.
I wish women would get out the baseball bat too.
Hello. Hey, Em, were you scared? Did you stay with him because you were afraid you would never find another man who would love you, or you were afraid you wouldn't be able to support yourself and your baby?
I had a 6-month-old and you know, was so unprepared for the reality of it, even though I knew in my heart for a long time that he was cheating on me, you know, that there was something wrong.
Right.
And I asked him, and he denied it. I knew in my heart, you know, my mind didn't want to come to terms with it. But, you know, I wish I would have, you know, thrown his butt out, because in the long run, it cost me a lot of heartache and a lot more time dealing with the stupidity rather than just getting it over with.
Okay. I'm glad you called, and we got to go. We're out of time for the topic. But I think the moral of the story, if we can just leave you with one piece of advice from the Kevin and Bean Show, and I believe you all agree, it's, guys, don't get caught, right?
Yeah, that seems bad.
Well, I mean, seriously.
You know?
Seriously. Dude.
Try to keep that quiet. Congratulations to Brian Redig from Riverside. He picked the Xbox 360 system, and he gets Guitar Hero 3. Xbox 360. Well, don't look at me like
I said 360.
I did at first.
Okay.
Don't look at me like I'm going crazy.
And Guitar Hero 3. We're giving you your choice, Xbox 360 or PS3, and you get Guitar Hero 3. The next time you can win is today between 1 and 2 when you hear My Name is Jonas by Weezer.
Oh, I love the Weezer.
My name is Jonas. I live on the second floor.
These are the songs that are featured in Guitar Hero 3. So that's between 1 and 2. Be caller 3 when you hear it between 1 and 2. And then you'll be able to choose Xbox 360
3,
or PS3.
And 1 and 2 and what?
And wow, Guitar Hero 3.
Wow.
Okay. No trouble following
You're like
this.
Chinese Jeez. Arithmetic.
Clear? It's 9 o'clock in KRQ FM, passing Los Angeles. It's kind of sad. Psycho Mike is celebrating a birthday this week, and his wife is also leaving him this week.
Yeah.
And we'll get that story coming up just after the news at 9. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday morning. What's going on?
That's her present to her.
Yeah.
That's right.
Freedom.
What's up with Jodie Foster? Why is she causing all the trouble?
What is up with her?
What's going on with her?
She's a magnet for lunatics. That's her problem.
Nuts.
Stirring things up all the time. Getting Reagan killed. Remember? Remember that dude killed Reagan on TV?
I don't think
that happened.
He didn't kill the president. He just shot him and wounded him.
Oh, well, still.
There's a new stalker, right?
Well, John Hinckley, the guy who shot Reagan, and James Brady. Uh-huh. Was in love with Jodie Foster and did it to impress her. Remember
right.
that story?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Well, now there's another story. Yesterday, a 42-year-old Massachusetts man was arrested for sending a handwritten bomb threat to the Van Nuys Airport on behalf of his beloved Jodie Foster.
What is it about her?
Richard Smeagol is his name. Or with a name like Smeagol,
he's
got to be a stalker. He threatened to bomb the Van Nuys Airport. on behalf of Jodie Foster, who he loves. And in the past, I sent dozens of letters and packages and stuff to her, stalked her, before he promised to stop. By the way, I wouldn't take the word of a stalker who promises to stop, by the way.
This is the last time. I'm serious. I mean it this time. If you want to get a piece of me, you got to respond.
The FBI says Smigel targeted Van Nuys Airport as well as other Southern California airports because he believed they were connected to the Screen Actors Guild, which he feels has been making disparaging remarks about Jodie Foster.
That's just not good.
Everyone knows SAG runs the airports.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be a good time to mention, too, Jodie Foster is not impressed by this stuff.
She does not care for this behavior. You're not winning her over, fellas, with the acts of violence against the government.
And I'd like to also add that there's nothing a fella could do to win over Jodie Foster anyway.
Unless that fella had a vagina.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Apparently, Smigel confronted Foster at her home at one time.
Oh, no.
Broke into her house in which Jodie grabbed a spoon. Smigel then said, what are you going to do? Spoon me to death?
That's where it came from.
That's where it came from.
Well, I realize that. Yeah. That's good news.
By the way, people, I'm serious now. I'm not effing around.
Stop it. Stop it.
Stop it with that. I think it was War of the Roses. Now, I'm pretty sure it was The Ref with Kevin Spacey. Listen, you goddamn bastards. Either you know and have the DVD in your hand and have just watched it and can diaphragm and document the scene in which it takes place.
Diaphragm it?
And then play for me the actual audio over the phone. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you.
Ralph did go through like the top 10 vote getters yesterday and tried to find that line in a movie or TV show. Doesn't exist.
9, 10 hours of watching stuff yesterday. Doesn't exist.
Go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, sounds, and it's already up there. Our review of where that came from, which is it's not in movies or TV anywhere.
And from the goddamn useless son of a bitch who wrote me an email not 5 minutes ago saying, I can't believe you didn't mention Mystery Men. I'm coming for you. Look over your shoulder, because I'm going to be there, pal.
That was the only clip we played was from Mystery Men.
That's exactly
right.
It's not from that movie. First one we disproved.
I'm not looking for any random mention of a spoon.
I think, Ralph, you made the point very well an hour ago, which is we're no longer accepting guesses. We only need hard proof.
Right. We don't need...
And by the way...
I'm pretty sure, I think, I saw it last year, I remember, this movie... No. You got to play it for me. You got to have it in your hand.
That's right. Let's find a prize that we can offer to give people the incentive to take that extra step to find the actual clip from the movie.
A reward, a bounty, if you will.
You're going to encourage people to continue doing that, and
no,
it doesn't
exist. No, they got to come with proof, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Because it would be worth a great prize just to be settled with this whole issue.
It's settled as far as I'm concerned.
You've got to produce the corpse we're asking for. Corpus Christi. Corpus Delicti.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
There's a legal Latin term in law that says you got to present the
corpus. Bring it.
Corpus bring it.
Yes.
That's right. That's what it is. Bring the corpse.
Yes.
Yeah. Corpus Delicti. Isn't that it? Present the corpse?
That sounds right.
Cannibal corpse.
Yeah, that's it. Psycho Mike. Cannibal corpse.
I think you're looking at the wrong people to solve this.
I maybe shouldn't be looking this side of the room when I'm looking for the Latin phrases from law school. Hayden Panettiere just keeps getting better. America's favorite cheerleader tells Cosmopolitan magazine interview. By the way, she's on the cover of Cosmopolitan. And just, if I don't know if you can see Kevin real quick here, but just take a gander at that cover there.
Yeah.
That's our girl Hayden. A little,
she's something else.
Little white, little off the shoulder cotton dress.
That doesn't look like it's quite big enough for her.
It's sort of a belt more than it is a dress. But she says, 18-year-old Hayden says, a lot of people think that she's going to be the next girl. One of those girls who slips and screws up, like she's going to get into drugs, she's going to get into parties. But she says that's not the case.
Can't be. She's too
perfect. Do not worry. However, she says, I do have the occasional glass of champagne when I'm celebrating something.
Okay. Does she get topless?
18-year-old Hayden says.
When she drinks that?
Right. You got enough better than an 18-year-old having no sip champagne. Ooh, the bubbles tickle. Ooh. So does your beard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm surprised Governor Spitzer hasn't tried to hire her yet.
I'd like that.
18 and drinking? Come on.
Come on with the come on. And Janet Jackson has backed out of Saturday Night Live. She will not be performing this weekend. Her representatives say she has the flu. She's also dehydrated and exhausted.
Yeah.
Sure, of course she is. And she's seen Saturday Night Live.
Janet is suffering from the flu that's kicked a lot of people's behinds, her publicist said. She is fine. But she will not be performing this Saturday night, so you will miss her on that show. Or not, if you're like me.
Won't be.
Oh, it's so late already. I don't have time to tell you about Marianne from Gilligan's Island smoking pot, but we'll get to it in the next hour. Oh, no,
really?
This is the last one of the day, isn't it?
Yeah. She got caught smoking pot.
Yeah, but then she got off for reckless driving because this is the I didn't know this part of the story, but when the cops originally pulled her, this happened in the fall. In October, she got pulled over.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The court case was just settled yesterday, but she got pulled over in October. Cops pulled her over for reckless driving. She rolls down the window. They're like, wow. You got Cheech and Chong in your backseat? And she says, this is my favorite part. The search of Wells' car produced 4 half-smoked joints and 2 small cases used to store marijuana.
All right, then.
Dawn Wells, a.k.a. Marianne from Gilligan's Island, blamed it on hitchhikers.
She picked up hitchhikers?
That's what she said.
That's the best!
I picked up these potheads who were smoking in my car and left it behind.
Because that's what happens a lot.
They always leave their pot behind. That's everybody knows that.
Her lawyer said a friend had used her car earlier in the day and left it in the car. That's where it came from. And a friend signed an affidavit saying that was the case. She's got some good friends.
Wow.
So she is off the hook, just doing 5 days in jail for reckless driving. They say she was driving recklessly on the road because she was trying to find the heater controls in her new car. Couldn't figure it out. Because, you know, usually they hide them underneath the dash.
They do. Yeah.
And you want to turn
sometimes
your heater
under the seat.
On. Oh, yeah, you can't find it. Sometimes in your trunk.
Yeah.
You have to crawl through the back seat in order to turn on your heater.
She was looking for I
the
know
best
I have,
tonic is chronic.
I know I have a half smoked blunt here someplace. I got to find it.
Where are those roaches? I can't find them anywhere. Today's celebrity birthday is the only one really worth mentioning, although I'm getting a lot of angry Iron Maiden fan emails.
Well,
bassist Steve Harris of Iron Maiden is 51 years old today, but 52 rather. But Ron Jeremy celebrates his birthday today, so we want to give it up to the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Ron, do yourself a favor and, I don't know, have a salad. Just one. Try it once.
Would it hurt
eat
you?
Eat a carrot. I don't know, it's crazy, but it just
he started
work.
To eat a carrot.
Hey, what the? I'm Ralph Garman, I walked the show.
Psycho Mike, you had a good run. How long were you guys married? It must have been 3 years, maybe?
17 years.
Nope. How long was it really, though?
No, about 2 years.
Seemed like 17. How long was it?
I was there. It was the night...
2.5? 2.5 years.
It was the night Nine Inch Nails played at the Hollywood Bowl, because I left early to go see them.
Yeah. That is, in Hollywood these days, I mean, you almost made it to your golden wedding anniversary. I mean, that's pretty darn good, 2.5 years.
It was nice. It was nice while it lasted. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. We want to welcome Jenny Ross, formerly Jenny Catherwood, Psycho Mike's soon-to-be ex-wife, back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning, everybody.
Last time we talked to Jenny, she was going to Hawaii for a week to have sex with NFL players. And how'd that work out for
you? Now she's crippled.
Wow, my reputation is really going downhill rapidly.
Now, Mike has been talking to us off the air, and he's been mentioning that you will occasionally come home after he leaves for work. So he gets up. So he gets up in the middle of the night. You're not there. He leaves for work, and then you get home. And by occasionally, I mean about 4 nights a week.
Well, I think he's exaggerating a little bit. A couple of things that he's forgetting to mention.
Are you exaggerating a little bit, Mike?
No. Right. Well, let's hear what Jenny has to say, because I tend to believe her more than I believe you.
Exactly. The only reason sometimes I do tend to come home after he's, you know, already left for work is that I get off work at, you know, 1, 2 in the morning.
Right.
And then if I come home from work, I'll generally wake him up. The dogs will bark. So he has told me on numerous occasions, if you're going to come home around 1, 2 a.m., just come home after I'm gone.
How about that? He didn't mention that
he
to
told us.
So I'll just go find friends. Okay, hey, let's go, you know, get something to eat or something, and I'll drag my feet for an extra hour or so until he's, you know, at least awake or gone for work.
Mike is a liar.
He told us that you got done at 11 p.m.
We close at 12:30.
He's a lying liar who lies then.
First off, I've never told her to just come home after I'm done. I said, just don't wake me up. I mean, that was...
Clearly it's impossible
wake me
with
up
dogs.
And don't come home.
Okay, is it true, like Mike says, that you are obsessed with the game Rock Band?
I might have a small addiction to it. But
so you go to friends. So you go to friends' houses who have Rock Band.
But only because Mike won't let me get it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I asked him, so why don't you just get it? He's like, I don't want to.
Exactly. I've asked him from the very beginning, let's get it.
I'm sorry, let me recap what Mike said. I was inaccurate. What he said was, I don't want to hear her sing.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
He doesn't let me go sing karaoke. He doesn't let me Rock Band, so I have to go elsewhere. I'm sorry. I'm not getting it at home. I have to go elsewhere.
You got
to
do what you got to do. And that's why. And that's why we had Omar make up a new song for you.
Hey, Jenny, Jenny, who's giving it to you? We all know it's probably some black dude. Jenny, we know you're boning other guys.
Okay, so that's your song.
That's not even trying. Come on. At least write something down before you hit record, Omar. My God.
So, I think better than that.
Yeah, well, no kidding.
We wouldn't know.
What's the story here, Mike? For God's sakes, it's incredibly rude. Even though I know you have to get up early and you work hard and you work a long day, it's incredibly rude to have your wife basically sit in her car outside the apartment waiting to come home so that she doesn't wake you up. I mean, there's got to be some better way to handle it than that, doesn't there?
Or I just sleep on the couch, which is really fun for my back.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
it's
terrible, I mean, seriously. Kenny.
Mike?
It's terrible. Right.
Well, it's terrible.
Is there no way that you cute little kids can work it out so that she can come home from work and not wake you up?
Yeah, well, why are you avoiding the what's the matter at hand?
The Rock Band question?
That she doesn't come home at night, and when I go, hey, what was going on last night, expecting her to make up something or at least say, I'm dancing in the clubs, I'm out having fun with other dudes, that a fully grown woman says, oh, shoo, rockin' session last night. I got perfect score on No One Knows from Queens of the Stone Age, Mike. You'd be so proud of me. And then I did maps, and I got expert level on the vocals, and then I played drums. And I'm like, am I married to a 14-year-old Asian kid because she's addicted to goddamn video games?
Let me ask you a question. You would rather have her say, I'm out in the clubs dancing with other guys than I love Rock Band that I'm playing
in? You see what I have to deal with?
What is wrong with you? Wouldn't you rather have her addicted to Rock Band? That's a fun game. That's a fun game. You can sing. You can play the drums. You can play both guitar parts. That's fun.
Interactive. You know, I'm staying out of trouble. I'm not on the street sitting in my car waiting for him to go to work.
Right. Doing Enter Sandman. You're doing Nine Inch Nails. You're doing Creep from Radiohead. You're rocking it. I mean, sometimes.
You know why he's mad?
Why?
Because last time I played him at his friend's house, mind you, the American Idol game on like PlayStation or something, I beat him in the vocals, and he's still bitter.
That's what it is.
Look, yeah, that makes sense.
She's got to go where she's welcome. She's got to go where people like her, Mike. You can't blame her for that. You need to really. I mean, if you're going to say, I know your marriage is in its waning moments here, but you got to step up, dude. Step up to the streets and try to save this. Show your wife a little love, a little respect. Let her come home.
I'm not the one. It's ridiculous. I've never forbid her from coming home. I just would appreciate.
You said, if you're going to come home and wake me up, just don't come home.
I said, don't wake me up. Those are my exact words. I've never told her not to come home. And she's chosen, she has clearly chosen, and she's been given the choice of me and a home of morals and virtue or a life as a scheming whore that's addicted to video games.
By the way, that Rock Band is very addictive.
I know.
Oh, it's totally addictive.
Yeah.
I know
it's addictive.
My kids came in the other night and they're like, are you playing this by yourself? I was like, yes, I'm on expert level right now.
I know it's addictive. Another thing that really annoys Jenny is that I got two free copies of Rock Band because
I hosted the
on sale, the midnight on sale.
And you knew she wanted it?
And I was one of the first. She'd never played it before that, but no one had played it. It was the on sale. No one had played it. And
you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, why did you give them both away?
I got in a fist fight at the on sale because of the drummer, the guy that when I was playing, I was on vocals, wasn't holding up his end of the bargain. And I said, I can't bring this game home and have this at my fingertips all the time. I will ruin my life. I will ruin my wife's life.
That is true, by the way.
And look, and now, months later, it's come around to bite me in the ass somehow.
Because it's ruining your life through her.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, but then they're not bugging you, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jenny.
Soon you won't be bugging him at all.
You're making the right call.
Just cut your
losses, and every day when you leave for work, take one more possession of yours out of the apartment, and eventually you'll have moved out. It won't be a big hassle. That's clearly what needs to happen here.
I'll be happy. All the clutter will be gone. You know, as long as I leave the dog, she doesn't care.
I am at a crossroads because, I mean, part of me wants my wife to be there when I wake up. But, I mean, I kind of really enjoy the fact that I'm alone. You know what I'm saying? And it's like there's more me time. And so
I should have thought of some of that before you got married.
You need more me time. That's what you need.
Yeah.
Because it's not 100% yet.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is I'm upset that my wife looks at Rock Band or me and chooses Rock Band. And I'm hoping
But Bean and I and Lisa, I think, are all in agreement that that's the right choice.
Why?
Boring.
She's going to be a horrible wife and not hold up to her end of the bargain in the marriage. I want it to be for something better
because I feel like I'm worth it.
She should start smoking rock. She should become a stripper. Something better. than Rock Band. I feel like I'm better than video
rock
games.
Rock Band is a pretty good game, though.
Yes. I only play Rock Band when you're at home sleeping.
That's a pretty good game.
90% of the time.
And when somebody, somebody fails out, if you're playing good enough, you can bring them back in.
Exactly.
Come on, that's addicting. Come on.
I know.
Dude, it's that's bad. The right choice.
How am I, how am I not the victim here? I don't understand.
You're bad.
Exactly. You forced me into the arms of the video game.
That's correct.
You did.
You forced her into the arms of the video game.
We're out of time, but good looking out, Jenny Ross. And keep doing what you're doing, baby.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
You hear the song again?
Sure.
Jenny, Jenny, who's giving it to you?
Take it if you know it.
We all know it's probably some black dude.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Your phone calls are next. Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. You call. You get to talk about anything you want to talk about. You just have to be interesting, and then we'll give you a prize.
Could they call about...
Nope. Not
really?
Anything. Not that.
Nope.
Anything but that.
Nope. Are we even allowed to say the S word anymore, or is spoon off limits, Ralph,
thanks
Mother
to the last 24 hours spoon. You've spent? Although you're the one that started it.
I'm not the one who started it. Stephanie, listener Stephanie, who sent us an email, started
it. But you could have rejected it for our show. Instead, you brought it onto the air and you brought it on yourself.
I was trying to do a solid for a listener and see what that got me.
Yeah. Yes, don't do it again.
Bite in the ass.
What's the actual phrase that we were looking for 24 hours now?
Listener Steph sent us an email, said, since Thanksgiving, she and her family and her friends have been going crazy trying to figure out the movie that contains the line, what are you going to do, spoon me to death?
And we started looking.
And we said, that does sound familiar. Yeah, I wonder what movie that is from. They can't find it. I bet we can find it. So we tried finding it for a couple hours in the office. Couldn't find it. So we said, we'll open it up to the K-Rock listeners. They for sure will know what it is.
They know everything.
They know everything. Somebody in our listening audience knows everything.
That's true.
And we got 4,000 responses of people saying, I'm pretty sure it was Shanghai Noon. No, I'm pretty sure it was The Truman Show. I'm pretty sure it was Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I'm pretty sure it was The Whole Nine Yards. I'm pretty sure it was Mystery Men. Doesn't it sound like something Jack Nicholson might say? F you!
Yeah. Here are a few Afro calls that we got.
Just calling to tell you that the spoon you to death quote, I believe is actually from the film Mystery Men. It was made by Curly Sue. That's the movie.
Remember Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? With a spoon, cousin.
Oh, my God. I heard that on the Aladdin cartoon animated series back in the early 90s.
What are you going to do? Spoon Me to Death comes from American Pie Presents Band Camp.
Anger Management with Jack Nicholson.
I believe the movie that you're looking for is The Ref with Kevin Spacey.
Hey, guys, it is Boondock Saints. If you go to the DVD, Chapter 7,
it's from The Truman Show.
Still in Harvard, dumbass.
The movie is Stripes with Bill Murray.
Ralph, your answer is in True Lies when Arnold says the terrorist. See, what you're going to do is you're going to spoon me to death.
So it's actually from Rocky when he's about to fight Apollo Creed.
Yeah. Ernest goes to jail.
That line wasn't from those movies. It was from Kindergarten Cop with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Cucamonga Heat. 100% sure. Mm-hmm. Long time. Tim.
All right. I got it. What are you going to do? Spoon me to death? Definitely. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Now, from 10:01 until this morning, Ralph, what were you doing?
Doing nothing but watching bad movies, looking for that line.
The most nominated film for the answer?
By far was Mystery Men.
Okay.
So we did a little research. We got Mystery Men on DVD. We watched it. And there's only one mention of spoon in that movie. And this is it.
So your shovel in his face is my friend.
You threw a spoon at the guy, Jeff.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Frightfully embarrassed about that. I thought it was a fork.
You're the master of cutlery. You can't throw a knife sometimes.
No, I can't. Use a rake sometimes?
No, I'm the shovel.
Well, I'm the Blue Rajah. I'm not a stab man. I'm not knifey boy. I'm the Blue Rajah.
That's it's right.
Not the same as what we were looking
for. A spoon mention does not the line make.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
What's your comment for people who got so irritated at us for not just saying it was Mystery Men and moving on?
I'm still getting that email. Oh, yeah. You're an idiot. It's obviously Mystery Men.
Okay, Ralph watched the whole movie yesterday. That was the spoon clip from the movie.
Right.
That was it. Not the one we're looking for.
So I popped in the whole nine yards.
Funny movie?
Funny movie. So doesn't this sound like something Matthew Perry would say? Sure it does.
Yep.
Not in that movie.
Yeah.
Got a woman who yesterday called saying, I worked on the film. It's absolutely in that film. Not in that film, lady. So I'm thinking, well, maybe she's mistaken. Maybe it's the sequel, The Whole 10 Yards. Pop that in. Sat through that yesterday. Not in there.
Quality was as good, though, right?
So then I got an email saying, you people are barking up the wrong tree. It is Matthew Perry, but not in any of his future films. It's from Friends, the TV series
Friends.
The second season, the one that showed after the Super Bowl, when Joey's got a stalker and he picks up a spoon to protect himself, and Chandler says, what are you going to do, spoon her to death?
Okay.
And I said, well, that makes perfect sense. So I got myself the second season of Friends. Sat through a couple episodes of that. Turns out Joey picks up a frying pan, doesn't pick up a spoon
not
at all
a spoon at
in
all.
That episode.
So it's not in Friends?
Not in Friends.
So people lied about that as well.
Not in any of the movies?
Not in Cabin Fever.
No?
Turns out in Boondock Saints, the guy's got a six-shooter to kill nine guys. And we go, what do we do with the other three? Laugh them to death? Not a spoon.
Yeah,
not a spoon at all.
Toy Story. What he says to the space dude?
Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear. Mm-hmm.
He's got to hit him with my lasers, and he's got a blink of light in his chest. He goes, what are you going to do? Blink him to death?
Yeah.
Not
that's
a spoon.
It. Oh, that's not a spoon
not
either.
A spoon.
Okay.
How about Snatch, where your guy's got a pistol with blanks in it? And the guy says, what are you going to do? Deafen them to death? It's not a spoon.
No, that's not the line.
It's not in Breakup. It's not in Anger Management. It's not in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. It's not in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It's not in Daredevil.
So if you have any kind of guess, Ralph at KROQ.com.
Stop guessing, people.
No more guesses.
No more?
My guess is it doesn't freaking exist. That's my guess.
This is the line that had it existed, we would have found it by now, but it doesn't. It just sounds like a lot of other stuff.
And I think it's like, remember when everyone was saying, oh, that's the girlfriend from hell. That's the lunch from hell. That sounds like the business meeting from hell. Remember when everyone had that running line you could just plug in anything?
From hell, yeah.
I think there's been enough some blank to death jokes in movies that someone said spoon to death and they just automatically assumed, well, yeah, that's got to be in a movie someplace.
So our conclusion is this line doesn't exist in
a
movie.
It's a fact. It's fiction. It's fictional. It does not exist. Stop emailing me.
So email Ralph@KROQ.com.
I only want to hear from somebody who has a DVD in their hand with that scene that they've just watched that they can demonstrate without a doubt. They can play the audio over the phone for me.
What
and
if
say,
they're sure?
Here it is. No.
What if they're confident?
No. No sure, no confident, 100% guaranteed. I saw it last year. I know for a fact you have to have it in your hand. I want cold, hard evidence.
Cranky.
Yes, I am, after 10 hours of Matthew Perry movies.
Ralph, a guy yesterday afternoon calls, I got it, I got the scene. He cues it up, and he plays it for me. It's Chronicles of Riddick. And it turns out it's a teacup, not
a spoon. What are you going to kill me with a teacup?
And he plays the audio, and he goes, and he picks up the phone from takes the phone from the TV, and he goes, sorry, dude.
Teacup.
So stop it, is what we're saying.
Yeah, or you can go to cafepress.com and get your What Are You Going to Do, Spoon Me to Death t-shirt.
There you go.
They're already up and running, so you can get those.
I like the line that doesn't exist.
So just put it to rest, people. No more.
Okay. Let's not talk about it anymore. Let's just assume it's dead until we hear otherwise from now on, because that way it won't start people up again.
All right.
Let it go.
That's the answer.
Let it go, people.
Kevin Beans, What to Do, Nephew, is next.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What
to
do, what to do, what to do.
What to do, Nephew.
What do you do, nephew?
Toll free, 1-800-520-1067. A copy of the South Park Imagination Land just out on DVD this week. Also, Lil Bush, Resident of the United States on DVD. And a pair of lift passes to join K-Rock at Bear Mountain this Saturday the 15th. Everyone who calls in right now gets that, except for our first caller, Stephanie, who gets nothing.
Look who it is, the woman who has single-handedly ruined my life.
Steph?
Honestly, I have to tell you, I thought I would email you, Ralph, but spit out the answer and the whole thing would be done. I never expected this.
Steph is the one who wrote about the movie quote about the spoon. What are you going to do, spoon me to death? She said they've been looking for it since, Thanksgiving?
Since Thanksgiving. We have like 132 people on the Facebook group now. 50 people joined yesterday.
Yeah. Now, Steph, here's the thing, though, is we've never had a problem opening the phones. Somebody, like not everyone, but somebody always has the answer to every question we ask.
Yes.
So well, when they were unable to come up with it yesterday, that's when it started occurring to us that maybe it doesn't exist.
Well, this is L.A. I figured someone would have either had to work on the movie, been in it, written it.
That's what Ralph was thinking when he brought it on the air, too, of course.
Yes.
I mean, I've never expected this. This is so funny.
Yeah. Steph, it's Bigfoot, baby. You got to let it go. It's a myth.
I remember it. I really
You think you remember it, but you don't remember it.
The funny thing is, I'm the person that all my friends call when they can't remember something or can't figure something out. And this
you failed.
Stumped me.
Yeah.
You know why this stumps you?
Not in a movie.
Urban legend.
Sounds like a lot of the stuff that is in a movie. This one's not.
It's a myth.
Well, someone needs to write a movie now, and this needs to be like the title or the main speech or something.
So someone has to do that for you to give up on looking for it somewhere else. That's what you're saying.
Well, someone has to give her an answer. She needs closure, damn it.
I have a stack of DVDs sitting on my desk that I've been going through. Today is Blades of Glory that I'll be watching. So I've been taking my kids to school and watching movies.
Okay.
Hey, Steph, you're not the one who's selling the Spoon Me to Death t-shirts on Cafe Press. That's not you, is it?
No, I would really like a cut of it, though. But no, that's not me.
Yeah, we'd all like a cut.
Yeah. All right. So don't ever call us again. Me. Don't ever call or email again until you have the movie that's in.
You know what? I actually emailed you guys this morning. I'm like, I'm so sorry I started this. It was seriously the number one Googled item yesterday. It's cracking me up.
Yeah, it's You waste all of our time.
No,
yours.
I spread my misery. Sorry,
yes, you do.
All right, Steph.
Like a venereal disease.
Thank you for calling. For apologizing.
Let's talk to Randall, line 6, El Segundo. Randall on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What it do? Or what it spoon?
Hey, what it do, Nancy? What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Randall.
What's going on?
This was when I was in fifth grade, and I lived in Maryland. And it was kind of a suburb area, but the backyard was all foresty. So me and my friends would get bored, and we'd go around and we'd attack beehives with giant sticks. And they were the kind that were in the ground.
Right.
So you could just kind of ram them in there and run away.
Right.
Or spray them with a water gun. So one time we did it, and I was running away, and I got stung on my ankle, so I stopped. And I was wearing shorts. So I guess one of the bees went up my shorts and stung me right on the penis.
Oh, wow. I was hoping that's where the story was going to go, but I didn't dare dream.
How did the bees know that was the worst place they could possibly sting you?
Dude, they were mutant bees. They were smart. I have no idea.
You're watching bee porn?
They did the right thing, though.
Yeah, totally.
They did the right thing.
It was right on the head, like 2 centimeters from the hole.
What is it, Randall, that caused you to call us today about something that happened in fifth grade?
I don't know.
Okay, just wanted to share.
I'm happy with it. I just wanted to know.
Just got to thinking about my old bee stung penis. Wanted to bring
how much
up.
I miss it. That was probably the biggest it ever got, too. By the way.
Oh no, you did.
Well, this was fifth grade. Had a lot of growing to do.
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, you peaked early. Let's squeeze in Sydney real quick on line 8. Sydney is calling from your Belinda on the Kevin Amin Show. Sydney, what it do?
Hey, first of all, I'm one of the black folks that listens to this show, and I also live in Orange County. How about that?
Okay.
Wow.
You're not a twice as rare.
You screw up every single curve, don't you?
Basically.
All right, what's going on?
And half Jewish. How about that? Anyway, you know, this whole Spitzer thing has been cracking me up because they really need to go back to the fundamentals. Go back to the basics. Take an example from Brenda Ritchie, former wife of Lionel Richie, who when he cheated on her, she beat his ass.
Did she
and
really?
And then, when she got out of jail for assault, because there were pictures of Lionel's beaten, bloody face, she said, I'd do it again.
Yeah, that's what
I... These women seriously need to take a lesson from this chick. Yeah. I mean, either that or just don't get caught, guys.
I think it is an accepted thing that if you're married to a black woman, you will die.
Yeah.
If you do something
that
to humiliate her publicly.
That is the solution right there.
You know, spread it around.
All right, we will. Thank you, Sydney.
Good advice. Bye now. Thanks very much. All right, we'll have to leave it there for today. No more emails, no more calls about the spoon, by the way, unless you have the definitive answer. That is the ruling.
Or you have a good guess.
No,
Ralph
at KRock.com.
No guesses. No guesses. Look, we'll put Stephanie's email address up on the site. Let her deal with it. How about that? No guests to thank today per se, but I think all that changes tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah,
right?
We're going to talk to DirecTV, who have 3 days of coverage for South by Southwest, which is this weekend in Austin, Texas.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastic coverage, so we'll talk about that. We got Lyrics Marketing. They're starting to promote products in the lyrics of your song. They will pay you to use lyrics.
Product placement?
Product placement in songs.
In songs.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Buddhist Monks. Is someone mowing the lawn?
Yeah, sorry, I'm cutting my lawn here outside the studio.
Apparently it's me. I think I take the blame for this one. Huh. Apparently my yard crew just showed up to start mowing the lawn. They have strict, you know, after 10 a.m. only rules, but for some reason, maybe the time change screwed them up.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Yeah.
The problem is you're a show from a hunting blind.
Jesus, stop!
All right, back to you.
Here we go.
Buddhist monks. Is there anything else on Chicks Online, PS3, Xbox 360? You know all the crap.
Okay. Hey, no, not that hedge. Not. Coming up next, Cat Corbett with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around for
acting, by the way. Let's hear it. Those improv classes are really paying off.
Jack Johnson also flogging Molly just in time for St. Patrick's.
Wow. You're falling apart.
Not that hedge. The other one hedge.
Nirvana, also Paramore, and more coming up after this on K-Rock.
Wow. That was some serious hardcore self-destruction. Are you